Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
One Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Ryan Baker. It was a Christmas day full of NFL and NBA action yesterday. The Dallas Cowboys jumped out to a 21-3 lead and cruised to a 30-23 win over the Washington Commanders. Dak throws for 307 and two touchdowns in the win. Despite just 161 yards of total offense, the Minnesota Vikings beat the Detroit Lions 23-10. The loss eliminates the Lions from the postseason. And what could possibly be Travis Kelce's final game at Arrowhead? The Kansas City Chiefs lose to the Denver Broncos 20-13. Donovan Mitchell scored 34, but his three at the buzzer comes up just short, and the Cleveland Cavaliers lose to the New York Knicks 126-124. The San Antonio Spurs beat Oklahoma City 117-102. Golden State topped the Dallas Mavericks 126-116. The Rockets beat the Lakers 119-96. And in a thriller, the Denver Nuggets knocked off the T-Wolves 142-138.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lamery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Dom Tabari here.
Well, Reese came in, and he's handed me papers.
Yeah,
and then,
it's a rundown.
And then he said, you see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me. Oh, I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging, and only two guys answered our ad on Craigslist. Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
Doing it live on a Friday post-Christmas edition of the program. No Bo, no Reese. I'm Brian Baker, though, and with me today, we've got former Buckeye, former Grey Cup MVP, the Great Eight, Devere Posey. Devere, my friend, how was your Christmas holiday with the kids?
Oh, awesome, man. Picture perfect. Can't even complain. You know, you get to about the third gift, and you're like, all right, this is pretty cool, man. Just watching the kids have fun. So, no, it was good. How was your Christmas?
It was a good, enjoyable couple relaxing days away. Hopefully, anybody that was listening enjoyed the two best ofs that we had for you on the 2 days off. But it was nice. And your kids, I'm sure, like other kids, I don't even know if they see the gift until after. They just rip all the paper off and they look at it and then they go to the next one and start ripping that.
Well, it's like you got to take that 30 seconds to just bring it in. Okay, let's get. And then I grabbed it. Well, you know what happens faster before another gift is me grabbing the paper and putting it in
clean
the
it. You're throwing it in the trash bag real fast.
You control in the trash bag?
And I'm on it. I'm like grabbing stuff before it hits the ground.
You don't want the mess?
Oh, is it, what mess?
You just throw it right to
There's
you.
There's no mess.
They
Bake.
Hooping?
Oh, yeah, it's no mess. I'm
it's
catching
like it's a vacuum
before,
cleaner.
Yep, I'm catching it before it hits the ground. But, man, they had a good time. We played all day. Played all day. It was awesome, man.
And I'm sure the kids got spoiled.
Yeah, I would probably say the because, you know, us dads, we play with the toys.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got this Marvel encyclopedia, and I'm just a Marvel guy. And, man, Rhyme Time, you talk about just getting into it. I was on the couch for a couple hours just going through the real Infinity Wars. Oh, man, just the kid in me was so excited. So it was a good day.
And Rhyme Time, this was your first Christmas as a dad. I'm sure you guys were definitely enjoying the moments yesterday.
Yeah, it was pretty cool to kind of see. Like, she's only 3 months old, and so like she can't really do a ton like anything like that. Yep. But like she's still feeling the presence and everything, kind of just looking at it, but looking all over the place at the same time. So it was pretty cool though to see it through her eyes a little bit.
There was a lot of sports yesterday on Christmas Day. The NFL with three games back to back to back, and then five games in the NBA, including a performance for the ages late last night. And I'm not sure if anybody saw it from Nikola Jokic. We will get into all of that coming up in the next segment. Talk a lot about the Cotton Bowl. We're counting down the days till New Year's Eve when Ohio State takes on Miami. Some interesting comments from David Pollack about that game that we will get into. And then there's something going on in college basketball that I definitely don't think is good for the sport, and I don't like it at all. And it's something that Tom Izzo addressed probably about 2 or 3 months ago, but it's continuing to happen in college basketball, and it happened this weekend down at Baylor. So we will talk about that as well. But already some news this morning on this post-Christmas Friday.
Yep.
Michigan zeroing in. It sounds like the focus of their coaching search right now. Former Utah coach Kyle Whittingham. It's kind of hard to believe Whittingham, who replaced Urban Meyer at Utah, has been there ever since. And he's had a very nice run at Utah, some very successful seasons. He stepped down here just recently within the past month. And now it sounds like Michigan's looking at him to be the next head coach.
What is this timeline of stepping down? Because he took some time away, too, last year, correct? Whittingham?
That I'm not sure. He might have had some health things that he stepped away things, for.
Right, last year. And someone stepped in, and so he makes this move of, hey, you know, and Baker, correct me if I'm wrong, he parted ways from Michigan as stepping down. I'm sorry, from Utah stepping down.
Yeah, so it was announced that he would step down from the Utah program earlier this month. He never said he was retiring, though.
Okay.
He said he was just leaving Utah.
I'm leaving Utah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I think for Michigan, going in this direction, Baker, they tried the hot name, the Brady Hoax of the world. And I think, not saying like a Kyle Whittingham or a Shea Clark down in Vanderbilt is that caliber. And obviously they've been locked up, but Michigan is such a huge program that even if you're locked up, you would be looking at that buyout clause like, all right, how do I get out of this? Whittingham's availability, his established pedigree of winning, I think, over the years, and what would you call like building a program and maintaining a program? He's been able to accomplish that, and they've always been in the picture. And so for Michigan, I think this is a good direction to go in versus a hot name. So, and honestly, a guy like Whittingham, it kind of makes me nervous a little bit, you know, coming into the rivalry, because he's a serious guy. He's a serious guy. And for us on the Ohio State side, you know, he's going to take this position. And I think he'll understand the rivalry. And I think this will be good for Michigan for sure.
He even joked when he stepped down, DeVere, that he was entering the transfer portal. So obviously, he was not retiring from college football. 177-88 in his 21 seasons at Utah. That's a 66.8 winning percentage. So obviously what he's done there at Utah has, been tremendous.
Yeah.
I'm with you, DeVere, on the fact that it sure seemed like Michigan was on the verge of taking a big slide if this didn't work out well for them. And I do think he's somebody that's going to right the ship there and get them back on the right path. I'm not scared, however, in the fact that I don't think Kyle Whittingham is here for long term. Like, I don't see him being the coach in 10 years at Michigan just purely because of the age. He's 66 years old already. By the time he coaches a game at Michigan, if he gets this job, he'll be 67. So I don't see this as obviously a long-term thing at Michigan. I don't know if any coaches in college football, quite frankly, are long-term coaches anymore the way that it is. I don't know how many coaches you're going to see have a 21-year run at a school like Whittingham just did at Utah. So I don't know if I'm scared, but I definitely feel like Michigan isn't going to take a slide into the abyss like I thought could be, depending on who they got.
If you're looking at like a potential bridge coach like this, I feel like would be the perfect one to kind of have for the next, like, maybe what, 3 to 4 years, and then he can then maybe promote somebody good within him to then be the next guy.
Or you go get a Jesse mentor when he's ready, you know. And I do like him as that bridge, referring to that. And then also the best thing about this move to me, Bake, is him stepping down and allowing himself to go through an interview process. Like, I don't think that could be echoed like loud enough that
it's not guaranteed for him.
You know what I mean? But from him as his head coach's standpoint to say like, hey, I'm not going to hold on to this job and tell these parents and these recruits and these players in this locker room that, you know, this is how 2026 is going to go. In the back of my mind, I'm interviewing. You just got to love that he's like, hey, guys, I'm going to take some time away. And this is a great time. There's a lot of good head coaching jobs available this year, like never before. And so for him to just take time, step away from the program, evaluate that, and go through this true interview process, hats off to Whittingham for definitely doing that. You got to respect it.
And again, none of this is the reporting is he's the focus right now of the Michigan search. We've also heard that Kalen DeBoer was their focus. Then we heard it was Kenny Dillingham, and we know neither of those have worked out as of right now for Michigan. So we will keep you up to date on this if anything breaks throughout the rest of the morning, and obviously moving forward into next week as well here on the program. We mentioned Christmas Day, a lot of NFL and a lot of NBA. We will talk about that coming up next. It's Bishop and Friends, Ryan Baker, Devere Posey, Jacob Reimer on The Fan.
Head to 971thefan.com to listen on demand and subscribe to all our podcasts. Wasting time has never been easier. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Hi, I'm
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
My mom is a veteran and she was injured in the line of duty.
I hurt my leg in a training accident when she was only 2 years old.
She had 7 different surgeries over the span of 9 years, and there were tons of complications.
I couldn't be the mom kids needed me to be.
She missed so much.
After my last surgery, I got an infection so bad I thought it was going to kill me.
I told her she couldn't leave me yet. There was still so much she had to see. I hadn't even graduated.
I'm doing much better now. I may have lost my leg, but I've gained so much. I'm an active part of my kids' lives.
She can kick a mean soccer ball.
DAV's been there for me and my family. Through thick and thin, they've had our back.
Every year, DAV helps more than 1 million veterans like Sandy get the health and disability benefits they've earned so they can achieve victories great and small.
My victory is getting my life back. I got my joy back.
We got our mom back, thanks to DAV.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Wrinkles, gray hair, and hearing loss are common signs of getting older. But being short of breath, having tightness in your chest, coughing and wheezing are not. If you are experiencing these symptoms, you may be one of the millions of people who are living with a condition called COPD but don't know it. Early diagnosis and treatment can add years of better breathing to your life. For more information, talk to your doctor and visit COPDFoundation.org today.
What would it take for my child to only miss half a day of school for treatment?
What would it take to fund a cure for childhood cancer?
It would take all of us to come together to support the research. Join us. Go to childrenscancer.org today.
At the Ohio Lottery, we make Keno fun. Your
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
And have created a show where you can be a homer, a hater, or whatever you want to be. Your family might not listen to you, but we will. Sunday mornings at 8.
It's the Fan Call-In Show, presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus.
You're welcome.
While serving in Vietnam, a grenade took my ability to see. Today, I'm a sculptor. Now, my fingers are my eyes. I'm Michael Naranjo. As a veteran, I know the challenges of life can be great. In my art, turning a lump of clay into something beautiful, that is worth doing. Life is like that. We each must use what we can to make things better.
DAV helps veterans like Michael get the benefits they've earned. They help more than 1 million veterans every year in life-changing ways.
Now, I show others how they can create something with their own hands. I know it can do a lot of good. With support from DAV, more veterans can shape their lives into a thing of beauty. My victory is bringing beauty into the world.
Michael Naranjo, may your victories inspire many more. Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We are going to see some patchy fog linger, otherwise scattered showers today and cloudy skies with daytime highs getting into the low 60s and breezy winds. For tonight, mostly cloudy overnight with our lows in the 30s. And then for Saturday, we'll start the weekend dry and mostly cloudy with highs in the mid to upper 40s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Are you working? Because we barely are. It's Football Friday.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home for football and quiet quitting. The Fan. The best hair on the air. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Welcome back in. Hope everybody has had a good time enjoying their holiday break, spending their Christmas yesterday. Hopefully you've got the day off again today. That would be nice if you did. I know a lot of people back to the hustle and bustle, though. Ryan Baker here with you today. No Bo, no Reese. We've got Devere Posey and Jacob Reimer in as well. Guys, it was a not only Christmas yesterday, but a busy, busy day of sports as the NFL went to Netflix and had three games for you yesterday. There was also five games in the NBA. I admittedly was listening to some driving around yesterday. I was listening to some of the Cowboys and the Commanders game, and the Cowboys jumped out to a 21-3 lead, and they hang on for the win. Unfortunately, in that game, both teams had been eliminated from postseason play. Before the game, you had Josh Johnson starting, the third string quarterback for the Commanders in that one, but it was a 30-23 win for the Cowboys. The second game yesterday, there was some stuff on the line in that one, Devere, because the Detroit Lions needed to win out this year to make sure they got into the postseason. And it's kind of hard to believe that the Lions, after the run they've had the past couple of years, aren't in the postseason this year. I think some people, me included, expected them to take a step back, losing your offensive coordinator and your defensive coordinator, Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn, to head coaching jobs. But I still thought that this Lions roster was good enough to make the postseason. It just goes to show you, in the NFL, it's crazy, not only week to week, but year to year. And the Lions are going to be sitting home. They're sitting this one out this year.
And I think what you feel is the same talent level that the Lions have, the same type of explosive power on offense. The Jameis Wilsons, the Jahmyr Gibbs, and the David Montgomerys of the world just all being quarterbacked by Jared Goff. But Bake, that's how important in this like game of inches a coordinator is, putting somebody in the right spots. And you look at how Ben Johnson, what he's done with the Bears organization that seemingly had a dark cloud over them for the last 10 to 15 years. The ghost of Brian Urlacher is so happy with Ben Johnson and what's going on over there. And you see in Detroit just how losing a coordinator, and Dan Campbell is a great leader, but Kelvin Shepard is coming up, and he's growing as a coordinator. And I think defensively, the season Jack Campbell is having, and the season that Lions defense, you know, Aiden Hutchinson getting back out there moving, it's one of those years to where, hey, they might not have been in the fight this year, but if I'm a Detroit fan, at least we're putting out a good, you know, product each season now. And it's a far cry from where we were before the Dan Campbell days.
With the Lions missing out on the postseason, and I heard this, I think, 2 or 3 years ago, I heard Colin Cowherd talking about this, and he said that on average, I think it was on average, six teams each year in the NFL, six teams that made the postseason last year don't, and six teams that didn't do. And when yesterday I heard that the Lions, or you know that the Lions are out, I remember Dan Campbell talking about this, I believe this was 2 years ago, when they came up just short in the NFC Championship game, and people were thinking, oh, that's crazy. But I want to listen to this from Dan Campbell, and it just kind of really solidified all of that with the NFL.
And sometimes you can only say so much, you got to live it, unfortunately. You got to get your heart ripped out, which we did. And it's a lesson learned. And look, I told those guys, this may have been our only shot. Do I think that? No. Do I believe that? No. However, I know how hard it is to get here. I'm well aware. And it'll be, it's going to be twice as hard to get back to this point next year than it was this year.
And when I hear that, I think of the Cincinnati Bengals, and you get to the postseason in Joe Burrow's second year, and you think you're going to go every year, but it's such a fine line, whether it be injuries or changes on the roster, and it just hasn't worked out for them. I think of Dan Marino, who went to the Super Bowl young in his career and could never get back to that point. And it's one of those things that makes what the Patriots did and what the Steelers have done and what they're doing under Mike Tomlin and what the Chiefs have done here recently. It's what makes what these teams have done so impressive, that they stayed at that top level right there in the playoffs, competing for championships every year.
Yeah. And in the NFL, you have the Kyle Shanahan's, right? Those San Francisco teams, you have this Eagles team, this Nick Sirianni, you know, Sirianni's teams that he's had in the past recent 7 years. And then you have this Lions team. And these teams are right on, and the Bengals too are right in there, and the Bills and the Ravens, and they're right on the cusp. But the hard part about the NFL, Bake, is there's no same roster every year. Like from the top 53 to the every coach, it's never the same. And so you might have the same group or core of players, but like this shot might be your only shot, like Dan Campbell was saying, and you just don't know. And you just wonder with this Lions team, Jared Goff is at the center. He's playing at a very like high level in his career. I think the best in his career. How long does he stay at this level? Like how long can you keep Jameis Winston or Marshawn Brown and this kind of group, these young playmaker group together without winning a championship? And then you say, hey, at some point, if I can't get a championship with all these guys on their rookie contract, it gets broken up. And to
you gotta start paying them.
Well, as an owner, GM, head coach, that's the thing. Can I make a championship run and win a championship while my best players are on their rookie deal? And the Lions window is closing fast.
And then last night you had, we talked about the Chiefs, how impressive what they have done. Obviously, they're not going to the postseason this year. They lose a close one to the Denver Broncos, 20-13. The Broncos still on pace to get that number one seed in the AFC. I don't know if anybody had that at the beginning of the year.
Well, you look at the Broncos and hanging out at Pro Day, got to talk to a Broncos scout that I knew, and this team has been built from the draft. This team has not been built from free agency.
That's the best kind of teams
it's,
there.
It's winning, having a shot at championship with guys on a rookie contract, right? It's you go back to Seattle when Russell Wilson and all those guys, Cam Chancellor, before they got paid, they won a championship. And so for this Broncos team, defensively, the strength of their team, and I love Singleton too because he's a Canadian guy, and I got to play against him up in the CFL. So to see Chris Singleton out there just running around and being a pro that he is, I'm super excited for this Broncos team and all of the young players, Jonathan Cooper and our guys that are out there, man, and Cortland Sutton. Just been quietly productive his whole tenure in the league, and now they're going to be in the spotlight. And now, you know, Peyton and this roster that they built from the draft is going to be able to shine bright, man. It's crazy.
Real quick, 5 games in the NBA yesterday. We know Christmas Day used to be the NBA's. The NFL said no more. We're going to take that over too, but 5 games. The game last night, though. This stat line from Nikola Jokic is insane. 56 points, 16 rebounds, 15 assists. The Denver Nuggets beat the Minnesota Timberwolves 142-138 in overtime. Anthony Edwards on the other side had 44 points. Big game from Julius Randle as well. Jamal Murray was awesome. Nikola Jokic is just a different beast. I mean, he's so good, and he doesn't even look like half the time he belongs out there. He's averaging a triple-double this year, and it's not even close. 29.8 points per game, 12.1 rebounds per game, and 11 assists a game. The rebounds and assists, both number one in the NBA. He's 5th in scoring with the 29.8.
And the Nuggets have been banged up, too.
Just the level of production doing it for so long, you just wonder, has there been a big man this skilled ever? And our and in the time frame that he plays in, it's just Rhyme Tom, like, I've never seen a guy just drop this easy of a 50 ball. I mean, he was 20 for 21 from the free throw. This guy missed one free throw last night.
I think he had a triple-double halfway through the third quarter.
Man, it's so easy. And we were talking a little bit in between break. We were talking about how you could tell when Dirk was heating up or when Dirk got hot. And with Joker, you're just like, hey, like, oh, he has 38.
It's just right in front of you.
Oh, snap. Mm-hmm. Like, in the middle of the third, he has 38. Like,
you don't even realize.
It's crazy.
I was watching it this morning back again, and I was like, wait a second. There's still like 7 minutes to go in the third quarter, and they just said he's one assist away from a triple-double. Like, what are we doing here, man?
And he's 6'11", leading the league in assists right now.
All you can do is laugh. Like, it's ridiculous. This guy was drafted during a Taco Bell commercial.
Yep, and his teammates love him. You love a guy like that because when he's looking for you and everybody and all the attention is on him and he's a big man getting you involved, telling you to cut, running things. Like, I think at the end of the game I was watching, he told somebody to get out. Like, he subbed Valanciunas in for a rebound. And you're like, wow, this dude is truly
and he's a genius because he just knows all the little, like, the deep little rules that, like, that's what guy Anthony Edwards ejected last night, because he just did one of those where, like, the guy's arm was still over the end line and he just threw it off that guy's arm, and it was to get things set.
We are 5 days away from Ohio State taking on Miami in the Cotton Bowl. We'll get DeVere's early thoughts on that matchup and hear from your head coach, Ryan Day, coming up next. It's Bishop and Friends.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
What's up?
What's up, man?
What's up with you?
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. For all your roofing, gutter, or siding needs, call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
What is up on this Friday? Well, the Cotton Bowl. Next Wednesday night, it'll be Ohio State taking on the U. That's right, Miami, a game rematch, if you want to say, of the 2002 National Championship. DeVere, to this day, still maybe my most favorite game and memory in Ohio State football history, because it was the first time that an Ohio State team in my lifetime won a national championship, and it was so unexpected. You had Jim Tressel come in the year before, and he makes the promise about 310 days in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and they have the first season, and then they get into that those next years there, and they just go undefeated. And it was a season where it was never really perfect. A lot of games came down to the wire, and somehow they always survived and they always won. But it culminated in beating that team who everybody said, or Miami was trying to go back-to-back. They said it was maybe the most talented college football team of all time.
It was.
And to see the Buckeyes just get that win that night out at the Fiesta Bowl, I personally will never forget it. That team will always hold a special place in my heart.
If you take the two team pictures, there were like over like 150 NFL players and maybe over 50 first rounders.
Every player on that Ohio State defense on the two deep got at least a cup of coffee in the NFL, and almost everybody on the offensive side too.
And then you go down to red shirts. I think Nick Mangold and Santonio were just red shirted, just hanging out. You know, and I think Bobby Carpenter was hanging out too. And you just talk about the level of talent. I mean, Beck, I love that game, but you know, for me, I remember when I played Miami here at the stadium, you know, like, so, I mean, just be like, and I remember reflecting on the 2002 game for that game and what it meant. And, just playing against those players, there is something in the air, and it's not like convicts versus Catholics type of thing. It's more like even the players now still feel like we cheated. them. You know, like we made that pass interference call. Like we paid the ref. And then I also had some extended time with Andre Johnson when we played with the Texans. And we've talked about this game a few times too. And just to hear it from his perspective, the thing I remember from that conversation, he said, "Dog, you would never understand the feeling of being told you were going to win a national championship, running on the field and thinking you won and having to refocus." He was like, "We were a different team in that, after that time frame. We had just lost all of our season focus." Mm-hmm. And so that's how he says is how it slipped away. But it's just interesting to hear a Miami player's perspective on, wow, we thought we won, and they told us to clear the field.
And you heard Jeremiah talking about that last week, how everybody in South Florida still talks about that game and wants revenge from that game. Oh, Jeremiah says they can think about that, but we've got something different coming for them on New Year's Eve. Devere, just your initial thoughts when you saw Miami beat Texas A&M and you knew that was going to be the opponent, your just initial thoughts on this Cotton Bowl.
Oh, man, that game was tough to watch, wasn't it, Bake?
It was not a very offensively pleasing game.
You're just wondering. You're like, okay, is this because guys took time off? We're just not clicking. We're not in cadence. You know, maybe 7-on-7, we dropped some passes 2 days before. But I'm not going as far to say that that win made me nervous at all. It wasn't like us beating Oregon in the first round last year where you're like, oh, wow, we got this coming down the pipeline. So those types of games are scary. You can't walk into them thinking like, oh, we're going to dominate the team. But what I did see is if we can get Carson Beck's jersey dirty, obviously you see it at Georgia. His decision-making gets scrambled. He's rushed. His timing is off. Physicality with the quarterback with this Miami team is, I think, the key to the defense. I mean, it's the key to the game and the keys for our defense. Get pressure on Carson Beck. Almost like how we scrambled up Archie Manning earlier this year. I expect us to do that from DBs and from edge players.
One of the things from that game against Texas A&M is obviously the Miami defense played really well. They've got a really good defensive line led by Reuben Bain, who's going to be a top pick in the NFL draft. Here was Ryan Day earlier this week talking about that defensive line.
Not easy. Not easy. You know, all of them, Moten, Bain, Messador. I mean, they're good players, and they come, you know. And I think Jason Taylor's doing a great job down there coaching those guys and the way they play. And so it's a huge challenge for our offensive line and what comes with it. But as we've always talked about, it's not just the offensive line. It's everybody involved with it. You know, it's the receivers running routes. They're not running routes against the DBs. They're running routes against the pass rush. You know, it's the quarterback understanding. It's tight ends and running backs picking up protection. You know, these guys do a great job on defense. You know, they bring blitzes from all over the place, and it's hard to recognize where they're coming from. And then they have this front that just, you know, disrupts the game. So what a great challenge for our guys. And, you know, so we need great weeks of preparation, not just in the meeting room and on the walkthroughs, but also on the field, you know, replicating the speed and power that's coming at us. So our guys are fired up, man. They certainly have everybody's attention here. And so, again, it's going to come down to our training here this next week.
I know that a lot of people are worried about the Miami defensive line, and they should be. It's a very good defensive line, but they're more worried because of the last thing you saw from this Ohio State offensive line in the Big Ten championship game, where Indiana had some success rushing the passer, dominating the line of scrimmage with their defensive line. I am one that is not super worried about that because Indiana was the team that was the number two defense in the country behind Ohio State. And I also saw that Ohio State line play maybe their best game of the season against Michigan before that. Tegra Shibola, some people aren't worried about that. He's started at right guard every game. He's going to be out for this Cotton Bowl, so it's going to be Gabe Van Sickle or Josh Padilla in there. I am one that thinks this offensive line is going to be fine. They're going to rise to the challenge.
Yeah, and it's a huge challenge. I mean, and Julian and the guys getting the ball out of his hands, and I think that's what he does well. Steps up in the pocket, he feels pressure, and he also doesn't try to do too much when it's sack time. But for our offensive line, we were worried about Tennessee's rush last year and James Pierce and those guys. And I thought our offensive line did a good job of stepping up. For this team, you know, getting hands down, getting the ball out of our, you know, passers' hands fast, and then also some horizontal stuff. Like, how can we stretch these defensive lines sideline to sideline to be able to prevent some of that vertical pressure? So spreading them out, getting them running, will be very important. And like Dave says, like, with these bowl games, Bake, man, I used to love bowl practice because you have a mountain of season to kind of digest and say, hey, these are the things that I did well this year. These are the things that I need to do better. You don't have an off season to wait to fix it. You got 3 weeks. And so you kind of go back into a training camp mode with bowl practice. And a lot of guys, and it sounds like over at the Woody, they're excited about the opportunity to fix mistakes and then show it immediately on a huge stage. And these preps are they come at you fast, but like the days are long, but the weeks are just really short because before you know it, you're already in Dallas, you know, going to a prime rib celebration, you know, and getting ready for the game and, you know, dealing with tickets and family. So these 2 weeks here at the Woody, practicing fast, executing, kind of seeing, you know, what's going to happen, understanding, you know, these teams, like with a team like Miami, I would take all of their big plays for the season and just digest them and just have fun, right? Like, and just watch it on film. And so I know these guys are, you know, going to have things dialed up with this preparation for sure.
You talked about things that need worked on or mistakes that you need to try to fix. One thing that's kind of plagued this Ohio State team all year is the red zone. For whatever reason, they've had some struggles in the red zone scoring touchdowns. I don't know your thoughts on it, Devere, but to me, I would say if I've got 4 and 17, I would quit taking them off the field and leave them out there, because I think those guys are cheat codes, especially in the red zone. Just throw it up, they're going to get it.
I remember Jeremiah's first touchdown was a slant in the red zone. And you said, hey, oh, we have a red zone threat. You know, you think about the Iowa one hand. Football's not it's not hard, you know, like let's make it easy. And like, it's sometimes it's throw it to this guy, but these big packages, and to me, you know where I get frustrated. Why is Bo Jackson coming off the field?
I agree. Yeah.
You know, so that right there.
He always falls forward.
Just let him finish the drive. I don't get it. So, and then you wonder, because our red zone defense is so good, you say, has our offense not scored in practice? Is that why we can't do it in the game? Maybe we should go against the second team.
Maybe get some confidence.
Get some confidence up, and then we see, you know, see some touchdowns, and then we'll be able to do it on in the Cotton Bowl.
You talked about that Ohio State defense. It has been the best in the country all year, and Matt Patricia has certainly made it look easy in his first season as the defensive coordinator. Ryan Day had some comments on Patricia. Patricia also talked about the season. We will get to that coming up next. It's Ryan Baker, Devere Posey, Jacob Reimer, Bishop and Friends on The Fan.
If you consider yourself a Buckeye fan, you've come to the right place. This is your Heritage Sports Talker and home of Ohio State Athletics, The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
And save your life. Begin cervical screening at age 25. At 45, colorectal and breast screening. At 50, discuss lung screening with a doctor. Find resources for free and low-cost screening at cancer.org/get-screened. This is a public service message from the American Cancer Society.
The Lindsay
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Cool. Which led you to smoking, which led to a pack a day. Then you met that special someone, which led to starting a life with them, which led to wanting to live longer, which led to quitting. Then you heard you may be at risk for lung cancer, which led you to getting a low-dose CT scan. If you smoked, get scanned. Talk to your doctor and learn more at savedbythescan.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
For the past 100 years, Shriners Children's has become family to over 1.5 million kids.
In tough times and good times, they're there when we need them most.
Please go online right now to loveshriners.org.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
It's Monday Night Football on The Fan, too. Catch the Panthers and Falcons live from Atlanta. Fan coverage starts Monday at 7:30 on 1460 AM and The Fan's HD2.
Sponsored by Roosters, a fun casual joint.
Your radio home of the NFL, The Fan.
Timmy Hall.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
My son Ian was diagnosed with a brain tumor at the age of 16 months. The outlook was pretty rough. I mean, it was, you know, we had no hope until St. Jude rescued us. I mean, they saved him. To this date, you know, we are 12 years into this journey, and from day one, we have never once seen a bill. It gave us the peace of mind to know that we're there with our son, and we're going to beat cancer together. Now, he is doing really, really well. He's alive because of what St. Jude has done. He's here because of the doctors who came before, their blood, their sweat, their tears, the knowledge accumulated and shared, you know, with everyone else around the world. This is how we get rid of this, how we help kids beat cancer all over. It's the future.
Together, we will make cures possible for every child everywhere. Learn more at stjude.org.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Federal Elite Heating and Cooling and Bryant, doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
If you love a good pie analogy,
think of the cap as a pie. And once you take out one piece, there's less left for the next guy.
Then this is the radio show for you. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Welcome back in, Bishop and Friends. Ryan Baker, Devier Posey, Jacob Reimer here with you on your Friday after Christmas show. Hopefully you guys all had a fantastic holiday with your family and your friends. It has been a fantastic coaching hire that Ryan Day had, bringing in Matt Patricia to run this defense this year. And Devier, a lot of people were questioning that because they remember Matt Patricia as the head coach of the Detroit Lions and it didn't work out. Could Patricia succeed without Belichick? He's never been in the college game. There were a lot of questions about Matt Patricia, and some of them probably rightfully so. But the guy has proved this year, Devier, that he can coach defense as he has led Ohio State to being the number one defense in the country.
He got here and he talked about the defensive Bible that he has. And it's like, if there was one secret mission that I would probably do at the Woody, like run in there and steal something, it would probably be Matt Patricia's Bible. Like, that's the one way to hurt. And the reason why is because this Bible that he has, and him being a student in a game, and people, I just want you to know that, like Ryan Day, Matt Patricia, there's probably nobody in Columbus that loves football more than those two guys because they study it. And studying a defensive Bible that shows you why you play coverages, how to understand things, how to out-leverage people, how to, you know, add a guy, slide an offensive line. He knows how to do that stuff in-game, real sequence, in time. And then you just hand him the deep, like Ohio State's probably like second generational best defense, right? Like you just give him some of the most generational players to transcend Ohio State's defensive backfield, hybrid LBs that can stand up, you know, spy quarterbacks and rush edges. It's just crazy. And so you give him all of these abilities, like these. You have a guy that can play safety, Mike linebacker, and rush the quarterback. You have a linebacker that can play Mike linebacker and cover the flats, sideline to sideline. You have Sonny. And so with those abilities in that Bible, and you attach those things like, mm-hmm. Hey, we're seeing stuff that we haven't seen in college defensively. And I think these tapes are going to be studied. And from Matt Patricia, a lot of other defensive philosophies are going to be built off of that. And to me, it's like, okay, are we setting a standard for what kind of players? Because Ohio State, we've never like recruited types of players. Are we setting a standard for what type of player we're recruiting now with Patricia's defense and his ability to put guys in position? are we looking for the Arvell Reese's, the Calebs, and the Sonny Styles of the world now?
It definitely makes it easier when you got 2-0-8 for anybody that's calling plays. But here was Ryan Day earlier this week, as he's got a firsthand look of it all year long of just what has made Matt Patricia so successful.
Yeah, I don't think it's just one thing, like you said. I think, you know, the first thing was building trust. Like anytime you enter a relationship, through who you are and your connection and what you know, and I think consistently doing it over time, which is what he's done. But his background speaks for itself, and putting guys in a situation to be successful. And every player just wants someone that's going to be there to get him better, but also wants someone that's going to care about him. He's done both of those things. And, you know, it's great to see, you know, have somebody in the building who's been through, you know, some of the games that he's been through, the Super Bowls and a lot of playoff games. And so, you know, there's just a confidence level that the guys have in him. So I think all that adds up to what you're seeing.
And then Matt Patricia talked about those relationships with the players as being one of the things that has made this so fun.
Yeah, I mean, the defense, I mean, the players have done an unbelievable job. I think they've, you know, again, give them all the credit. I think they played so hard and aggressive and flying around on the field. And it is a lot of fun. I tell them all the time it's such a privilege to kind of, you know, be up there in front of the group and talk to the group. But really, it's just such a joy to watch them play on Saturdays and watch how they put a week of work together to go out in the field and perform for 3 hours. And just for me personally, I mean, it has been so much fun to come back to college and have that, I call it a little bit of a youthful energy with the players that we have here and their excitement to go out and play and their camaraderie and the bond that they have and kind of the brotherhood that they've formed. It's been a lot of fun to watch.
We've heard DeVere a lot the past 2 years about the brotherhood here at Ohio State, but that's also with coaches. And you know firsthand, if you have a coach that you care about and a coach that cares about you, it's just the way it is. When you have that relationship, you don't want to disappoint those people. You're going to go out there and play harder for people you like.
Yeah, I mean... The stark contrast of the Detroit Lions players' perspectives and the Detroit Lions media perspectives versus our players and what our media says, it's almost like, Matt, I'm sorry you had to live in Michigan, bro. Like, I'm sorry you had to deal with Detroit and those people, because the type of guy that he is, our players need that person. They need an expert. And the youthful energy that he's receiving back, babe, I see that, and that out pictures itself daily on Fridays when you don't feel like hitting, right? Or you're like, oh man, I got to deal with these contract guys and they're not going to want to practice on Friday. You know, NFL, I'm going to take my pads off. These guys are flying around and they're playing hard. And from a coach, you get an appreciation for that youthful energy. Like, man, these guys are still climbing. And I think that's been the key to the success and the key to the energy, the key to his studying and the key to, like, they're going to receive what I'm saying. I'm not in a position where I've failed as a coach and everybody's questioning me. They're listening and I'm the expert. And you get success when you have that type of trust.
It has been a joy to watch this season, and hopefully we've got three more games to watch of it this year, and Ohio State gets that back-to-back national championship. We'll get back into the college football talk here in just a little bit, but Rhyme Time, your favorite sport, I believe, has an issue. We will discuss that coming up next. It's Bishop and Friends on The Fan.
Just when you thought afternoons couldn't get any dumber.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you?
Common Man and Timmy.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
Your home for dumb. The Fan.
I wish I'd got...
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Honor of all those we've lost to cancer and those still fighting and thriving, like basketball analyst and cancer champion Dick Vitale.
I want to beat cancer. I'm going to beat it. That's no doubt in my mind. I'm going to win this battle.
Defeating cancer will take all of us. Join our team to help fund game-changing research that saves lives. At the V Foundation, V is for victory over cancer. V is for victory over the odds. V is for victory over health disparities, victory over setbacks, victory over the unknown. V is for victory over giving up.
Don't give up.
Don't ever give up.
Donate to the V Foundation to join our team and help save lives.
Cancer can take away all my physical abilities. It cannot touch my mind, it cannot touch my heart, and it cannot touch my soul.
100% of donations fund game-changing cancer research. Donate now to the V Foundation at V.org.
Statistics show that roughly 20 veterans die by suicide every day in the United States. Canines for Warriors is the leading nonprofit organization providing highly trained service dogs to veterans with PTSD and other invisible wounds of war. Backed by scientific research, Canines for Warriors has transformed the lives of more than 1,000 veterans, helping them reclaim their independence. To find out more, please visit caninesforwarriors.org.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Ryan Baker. Pete Thamel and ESPN are reporting that Michigan has turned their focus towards former Utah coach Kyle Whittingham in their head coaching search. Whittingham stepped down as the Utes coach after 21 seasons earlier this month. A lot of NFL action on Christmas Day yesterday. The Dallas Cowboys jumped out to a 21-3 second quarter lead. They cruised to a 30-23 win over the Washington Commanders. Dak throws for 307 and two scores in the win. Despite just 161 yards of total offense, the Minnesota Vikings beat the Detroit Lions 23-10. The Lions eliminated from the postseason, and the Kansas City Chiefs lost at Arrowhead to the Denver Broncos 20-13. This one's sponsored by Whiskey War from High Bank Distillery. Drink local, drink High Bank.
They'll offer betting advice, but don't bet on it being good. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Second hour of the program on tap for you. Talk to Tim May here at 10:30. Do a little thing or not a thing at 10:46. Jacob, I can't remember. Was it Tuesday night or Christmas Eve?
It was on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, it was Christmas Eve. You texted this to me. And this came about a couple months ago. And Tom Izzo had some comments about a Louisville basketball player that had been in the G League that was going to be allowed college eligibility again. And we'll let you hear those comments from Tom Izzo here in just a little bit. But James Nagy, he was the 31st pick of the 2023 NBA draft. He has committed to Baylor. The NCAA has awarded Nagy 4 years of eligibility, and the 21-year-old will become available immediately with hopes he's ready for Baylor's game against TCU. It's their Big 12 opener on January 3rd. Nagy was the Detroit Pistons. He was selected by them. Then he was immediately traded to the Charlotte Hornets. His rights were then traded to the New York Knicks in 2024 as part of the Karl-Anthony Towns deal. Nagy never appeared in an NBA or a G League game. Thus, this allows him to be eligible for Baylor. He did play professionally overseas a little bit, and I believe it was 4 or 5 games he played in the NBA's summer league. I don't know what you guys feel on this. And Jacob, I'm sure you'll have a lot of comments here, and we'll get those after DeVere. But I think this is something that the NBA needs to be, well, not the NBA. What should the NBA care? The NCAA should be really careful here. And the NCAA has always tried to push amateurism. That's the one thing they've tried to protect at all cost. And it sure seems like they're throwing that out the window here.
Man, this is a tough thing. Just being a parent and then also being like a former pro, because from a parent standpoint, development is key. And amateurism, the arena of amateurism is a good thing for guys to go and learn how to become a professional. You learn how to manage your schedule. You learn how to grow your body, recover your body, perform at a high level at different universities and power, Division I. But I think what's happening here is this is the NBA's fault and the NFL's fault for the NCAA's problems. And I push back on our amateur that for years the NFL has had a farm system that they've not had to fund. For years, the NBA has had a 1 year, 2 year, and it was 2006, the class of 2005. So Monta Ellis, all of those guys who were in that class, was the last basketball class that was able to go into the pros out of high school. After that, 06, Greg Oden, Mike Conley, guys on, had to come to college for 1 year. They're one guys. And then it was a crazy amount of talent at that time. You think about the Mike Beasleys, the OJ Mayos, the Kevin Loves, the Derrick Rose. All of those guys were playing in college, and college basketball was at another level. And so if you're going to have those type of players play, make sure that those type of players are the only good players playing, not guys who have tried the pros and are coming back. And I just believe our professional developmental systems, like how Europe has, are lacking. And we want to take a cheap approach and say, hey, we're going to hide behind the umbrella of amateurism for our development rather than just paying for an academy for a 14-year-old to be there until he's draft eligible. We don't want to fund that. We'll rather, you know, sell this college dream. And it's not making sense, and it's blurring the lines for NIL.
Real quick, Jacob, before, because I do want to hear what you have to say on this. It's funny you talked about that, because when I was looking into this a little more this morning, I was like, this almost sounds like a minor league system where you can send a guy up and down like baseball. You can call him
they
up.
Wanted
give him
to
some,
do that.
Yes,
yeah.
Give him some.
The Knicks still have his rights. Like, I don't know if he can get drafted again, like, because I think the Knicks still currently have his rights.
Well, somebody will have to negotiate his rights. Like, when you go to Canada, somebody buys your rights. And like, you're like, oh, I don't want to be in Winnipeg. You got to negotiate out of your rights. So it is an amateur system, man.
It's kind of scary. It's not kind of scary. It is scary, and it's a problem for college because, like, the boundary keeps getting pushed on this kind of thing. Like, we saw this year, like, one of the main things is guys coming in from overseas, which at the time, like, I still feel like that's fine because, like, they're coming over. They have that, like, they have that eligibility still to where
they're older.
You're seeing guys that are, like, 18, 19, and then you're also seeing guys that are, like, 21, 22. And they are getting the 4 years, though, but they're finding that as a pathway to get to the NBA. And they can come over here, get eyes immediately from scouts and GMs to then go to the draft. But now you're getting, like, we'll hear from Tom Izzo, the G League guys who are considered pros that are now coming back to college. And now you're seeing a guy that heard his name called on draft night, was a borderline first round pick. I think the scary thing is what's next, because there's no rules with this. Like, I feel like what you're going to see next is guys that played minutes in the NBA that aren't getting that run anymore that are going to try to come back.
Yeah, and I just think that's the absence of a true minor league system, and that's the absence of a true minor league just developmental program that each organization is missing. And to put that problem back on the NCAA because of the rules, or to say, hey, this guy's eligible. For me, I'm like, man, should I challenge for my fifth year back? Right. Cause I'm trying to like Phillip Rivers and this stuff, guys, I've been on the treadmill getting back in shape. Like, I don't know if I got a Phillip Rivers like year in me. But, like, you just kind of, like, I'm saying it jokingly, but could we even push for that? Like, I have a case for real, right? like, and how crazy does that sound? But that's the reality we live in, Jacob Bannon. It's just we're trying to hide behind this umbrella of amateurism, which is really a version of.
And Chris on the YouTube chat brings up Matthew Grujicic, who was playing overseas in Europe. And I understand the comparison. I think it's a little different, though, because
what's the story?
So overseas guys can play professionally at 15, 16, 17 years old. And that's what Grujicic did. And I don't know if the European Basketball League is as good or up to par as NCAA college basketball. I'm not sure. But Grujicic, and Jacob, you can correct me if I'm wrong, when he came here and committed to Ohio State and first started playing here, he was 17 years old. He might be 18 now, but this is a high school aged kid. Yeah. This isn't a 22-year-old kid that already said, I'm going to pass on college basketball and go be a pro.
Well, and that's the thing where, like, NIL has become a part of this, because, like, yeah, you can come over from overseas now and get paid to play while getting eyes on you immediately, like I just mentioned, from NBA scouts and GMs. Like, that's now the pathway for them is, oh, okay, I can get paid playing college basketball over here, even though I was already a pro, and I'm increasing my chances of getting to the next level. That's a chance you're willing to take.
And maybe it's something where, because the European players, they could do that, and there was that loophole, it's allowing this. I don't know. Maybe you need to get rid of all of it. Maybe you can't at this point now that you've allowed it. Theory Darlin was the first one to do it. He's a guard that committed to Santa Clara in September. He was giving two more years of eligibility after he spent 2 years in the G League. And then guard London Johnson committed to Louisville in October. He joined the Cardinals earlier this month. He's been playing professionally since 2022. Two seasons as a member of the G League's Ignite, followed by spells with the Maine Celtics in the Cleveland Charge. And when Johnson committed to Louisville, I believe Michigan State had a game with them or an exhibition with them, and this was sprung on Tom Izzo right before. Tom Izzo had some comments on it.
I listen to people talk of how kids changed. Kids aren't the problem. We're the problem. This was sprung on us again yesterday, where a guy can be in the G League for 2 or 3 years, and then all of a sudden he's eligible. Most of my people knew nothing about it. I don't think our commissioner, I am not real excited about the NCAA or whoever's making these decisions without talking to us, just letting it go because they're afraid they're going to get sued. So you're right. I said that this really bothers your coach if you're Michigan State fans. But if you want a silver lining in a cloud, I am going to call Magic tonight. I'm going to call Jaren Jackson, Miles, Gary, Max. You know, this just goes to show you how ridiculous people that are in power make decisions. I mean, you know, and I'm going to get killed because someone's going to say, well, if they go pro, it doesn't work out, shouldn't they be able to come back? Well, what about the freshman you recruited there? That's somebody's son. And he thinks he's got himself a good place, and all of a sudden, shazam, they pull out of their hat and bring a 21 or 22-year-old in. To me, it's ridiculous. To me, it's embarrassing. And I love my job. I don't respect my profession.
I know the whole thought of amateurism is going out the door, but going and being a professional in a sport, to me, and then coming back to college, should just not be allowed in that sport. Like, if you were a pro in baseball and you want to come back and you want to play football or basketball, I feel like that's a little bit different. But when you're going to a pro in the NBA and then coming back to college, I just think this is a slippery slope here. And I know it's all blurred right now. And there's NIL and guys are getting paid anyway, but Tom Izzo was right. This is an adult in the room problem because they didn't get out ahead of things and try to fix things when they could. They just kept pushing it to someone else.
Well, and then also, as a parent, talk about the options for a fourth, fifth, sixth year guy post high school. And you say it's the G League, it's NIL, it's junior. When I was coming out, you had college, Division 2, 3, or 1, or JUCO. Or you could go to prep school. That's what you had. Now you have the IMGs of the world and NIL states to where you can go and make money. Now you have these academies like the G League, or I even think the Columbus Crew, they have a young developmental program. And so there's a bunch of different categories that you can fall in terms of development, for parents for whatever sport, but for basketball specifically, is the G League the problem? Is that like that league starting? What was the basis behind it? In the essence of it, it was before it was a developmental league for players in the NBA who could not make rosters. And so you say, what is the difference between the G and the D League? Like, it's like what's the point of it? Is it because they can make money now with NIL? This is just this route. You're trying to recoup this route of, hey, I made this choice because I wanted this money now. Now I need to deem this money necessary for the job and not an over excess so that I can go and become eligible. How do we pull back from this setup with these bad leagues?
We'll talk a little bit about more about this because I know Jacob's got some more thoughts too. But we're a little late for a break, so we'll go ahead and take that. But we'll talk some more about this situation in college basketball next. Bishop and Friends on the Fan.
A lot has changed in 30 years, but we're still that old shoe that feels worn in and well loved. And well, we smell a little, but you've accepted that. The Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
We can do more.
Enough already. We can find a cure.
Enough already.
We can do better for our kids.
Enough already. We are relying on you.
We can come together to support Children's Cancer Research Fund, a national nonprofit dedicated to ending childhood cancer that is on the front line of breakthroughs. Because
it's enough already.
Go to childrenscancer.org today.
Attack and dominate. Morning Juice is on YouTube and 10TV Plus.
Sponsored by Riverside Bank of Dublin.
Join Bobby Carpenter and Tito weekday starting at 6 or watch on demand. More Bobby, less commercials. The Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
And weather
from the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We are going to see some patchy fog linger, otherwise scattered showers today and cloudy skies with daytime highs getting into the low 60s and breezy winds. For tonight, mostly cloudy overnight with our lows in the 30s. And then for Saturday, we'll start the weekend dry and mostly cloudy with highs in the mid to upper 40s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
It's Friday and there's football. I shall call it Football Friday.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home for all things football. The Fan. The final season of Yellowstone might just be Bo's dad live on YouTube. What's the difference anyway? This is Bishop and Friends.
And we here at Bishop and Friends, sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 78 years. In case you missed the last segment, talking about some stuff going on in college basketball right now. Just this week, James Nagy, who was the 31st pick of the 2023 NBA draft. He did not play in any NBA games, but he did play professionally overseas a little bit. Did not appear in the G League at all either, but did play in four or five summer league games. He has committed to Baylor and been granted 4 years of eligibility to play for them. And we're just talking about some of these, this slippery slope that all this can be right now. Rhyme Time, we didn't get to some of your thoughts there in the last time, and you are someone who lives and breathes and dies with college basketball. So I want to hear some more of your take on this situation.
Well, when we were listening to Tom Izzo, I found it interesting like how he immediately went to saying, like, I'm going to call Magic, I'm going to call Jaren Jackson Jr., former Michigan State players, because it's like we haven't gotten to that point yet, but does he know that that is coming? And so, like, and that's a very dangerous game. Like, it's scary to think, like, former players that aren't getting the type of run they are in the NBA anymore. Like, is this a possibility for them to come back in college? And like, I immediately went to Malachi Branham. Could he come back to Columbus? Could he come back and play at Ohio State? He's 22 years old. So like, he still fits that eligibility criteria.
So it seems like, at least so far in these cases, nobody that has played any NBA games has done this. And maybe that's something they've already said is an absolute no. And again, we talked about Matthew Grujicic with Ohio State, who has played overseas professionally since he was like 15, came over here to be a Buckeye. He was 17. I believe he's 18 now. Maybe this is something where if these guys are playing in the G League, because they've let these guys that play professionally overseas come over and have college eligibility, that they're going to have to do the same thing. I wonder, guys, if this is something, and I don't know how this is going to be, but I wonder if this is something where this could possibly just correct itself, because you're going to see guys now that are fringe players, like this Najee who was drafted at the beginning of the second round. Is he in the future going to stay in college because he can make more money in NIL?
Like an American player staying in college.
Yes. Yeah. Like, is he going to stay in college now that NIL is legal? Like, when he went into the league, there was no NIL. He wasn't going to get paid. So he goes into the league to get whatever money he can doing whatnot. Are these guys going to stay in college and get the NIL money before they move on, so this kind of course corrects?
Can we just do the rules? Like, because Ricky Rubio got drafted when I was like, and then he didn't show up for 4 years. Where's that rule for American guys, right? Like, even though you're drafted, you should probably evaluate if you're going to play. And or if you're in a contract, should you finish this contract out and developed? And it just goes back to the developmental systems, the developmental pillars that are in place. A European guy can get drafted, but they're still going to stay and develop for 1 to 2 years versus an American guy that says, oh, I'm excited. And here's why. Because Europeans, they were getting money back in the early 2000s to stay, versus now we have a system in a foundation of now players can develop and make money. Do we still need to jump for the financial reasons? And you're still going to be in the G League for a year or two.
I think this is a way for Najee to get NBA scouts' eyes back on him, because like, he was in 2023, he was by some people with mock drafts, but he was looked at as a borderline first round pick, which he ended up, he was right there. He could have got number 31, but then didn't blog any NBA minutes, went back and played overseas and wasn't getting any attention. And so now he can make a case to where, okay, if all these other guys are going from overseas that are about my age, that I never played in college, they never played in college, I can come over here, still make some money, and I'm right in the backyard of some NBA executives where I can get more tape and more film for them to potentially take another shot on him.
It's all crazy. And again, where is the line drawn? Like,
someone's got to step in.
LeBron James never went to college. Yeah. Can he come back? Now, I know that's an extreme example, right? And that's not going to happen. But I do think with this that you will see a little bit of course correction. And some of these guys, rather than turning pro, like a fringe first round pick, because that's kind of the line, right? Like, if you're going to be, I mean, it was always lottery pick. If you're a lottery pick, you've got to go. If you're a first round pick, you probably should. If you're a guy that's right there on that fringe of the first and second round, are you going to go ahead and turn pro to make the money, or would you be better off staying in college wherever you are, a Louisville, a Duke, a Kentucky, an Ohio State, and getting the NIL money, because maybe that's a little more than your first contract when you're going to be in the G League.
Possibly. Are we close to where a guy could potentially like go, you see his draft stock fall and he ends up going late in the second round, but he doesn't like where he goes. And then he's like, okay, I don't like this. I can go back to college and make money. Like, I never played in the NBA.
Taha Pettiford.
Yeah.
Yep. Perfect example. Yeah. I mean, he was draft eligible, came back, and he's playing at Auburn, and he's not performing. environment at the level.
Like when you hear NBA, like going to the NBA to test the NBA waters, like that means nothing now, I think.
It's a story that's worth watching here and seeing how it all develops in the NBA and seeing if it crosses over into other sports. We will ask Tim May if he thinks we will see this in football at any time soon. Coming up next, 2 minutes from now, it's Bishop and Friends.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. We'll read your emails on the air, but we won't tell you where to send them. Hey, we're not doing all the work for you. This is Bishop and Friends.
And we head out on the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline every Friday at 10:30 and talk to our friend Tim May. Tim, good morning. Hopefully you enjoyed the past couple of days watching those grandbabies open gifts.
Absolutely, I did. And I think Santa Claus came 3 times for my grandsons. It's crazy. It's crazy the largesse they walked away with, not just at our house, but at their house. It was like so, like FAO Schwartz opened a branch office or something. It was crazy.
Well, I'm sure Grandpa did his part in spoiling them. Tim, I don't know if you heard the conversation we were having the past two segments here about college basketball. And James Nagy, he was the 31st pick in the 2023 NBA draft, has not played any games in the G League or the NBA. The NCAA has granted him 4 years of eligibility to return to school and play basketball for Baylor. He's going to be eligible for their Big 12 opener January 3rd against TCU. He's the third basketball player that has done this. Could you see this happening in college football as well sometime down the road?
What do you mean if a guy goes to the UFL first?
He goes to the Aviators. He goes for the Aviators.
Comes back. Yeah, exactly. I mean, here's the thing. What's always intrigued me, I've never gotten a straight answer about this, is while there's a difference between football and basketball, you know, where they let you dab your toes in the water, you know, in terms of being drafted possibly in basketball. And of course, the other sports, baseball and the hockey and things. But football, once you step out and you have an agent, of course, everybody has an agent now, right? But once you step out and declare for the draft, you're pretty much and you, in essence, develop a relationship with an agent. I think even still today, you can't come back. So
hold on, wait, Tim. That's a good thing to stand on, because these guys have agents now.
Right. Exactly. So I know. I mean, I dude, anything's possible with the judicial system. I mean, you know, they can get you a lot of places you couldn't go before. But it's really funny how they've. Remember when Maurice Clarett left after 2003 and applied, wanted to be in the supplemental draft. And I think it actually happened, but then it got overturned and he still had to wait that third year before he could be drafted. So, you know, it's just pretty weird, but I've never understood the difference, except I think maybe 3 letters NFL. But the bottom line is, no, who knows? Who knows what's coming around the corner in the modern day college athletic realm?
Yeah, Tim, you have to wonder if the NCAA has hid behind a free farm system for years, and what's happening with basketball is going to expose it. And like Bake said, it's going to course correct itself, because there are a lot of rules that just don't make sense. It just don't make sense. And in terms of development.
Yeah. And, you know, and this isn't a scare anybody or anything, but I mean, does Jeremiah Smith really need another year of college football?
No, he doesn't.
What he's about? No, he doesn't. You know, and for that matter, quarterbacks. I think quarterbacks benefit more than anybody else from reps. I think of quarterbacks leaving early, it's any coach will tell you, any NFL coach would tell you, the more reps you get, real game reps, the better off you are. And so I think even NFL people don't like to see quarterbacks leave early. But some of these other positions, I mean, sometimes you only have so much tread on your tires, right? And but, hey, you know, you get paid now in college football, so, don't gripe too much.
Tim, last we were talked, you were in here with me on Tuesday. We did not really know what was going on up at Michigan in their head coaching search. I'm not sure we really know now, but the reporting this morning was that they have turned their focus to former Utah head coach Kyle Whittingham. What are your thoughts on that?
It's interesting. Because you would think there'd be a long line of people. You would think that there'd be a long line of willing and able customers there at that line. And evidently there's not, number one. Number two, I think Kyle Whittingham's a hell of a coach. I think he would, we talked about this last week. They need somebody who's been a head coach who can gather a staff, a new staff, et cetera. I'm not just talking about, the actual assistant, true assistant football coaches, but right through, right down the line and sort of purge the building. I think that's what they may be looking for in the final analysis. There are some good guys up there. I think Tony Alford's a good guy. Terry Combs is a good guy. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, they need to clean the house. And sometimes the best way to clean the house is to bring in a guy like a Kyle Whittingham. It's just interesting how Kyle Whittingham, when he, in his departure from Utah, basically said, okay, he's hearing a few grumbles here and there, et cetera. I've done a lot for this school. He didn't say this exactly, but hey, you know what? Maybe it's time for me to get a new fresh start, outlook somewhere else. And if somebody's willing to hire me, I'll give them all I've got. So, I don't think that would be a bad thing. We were talking about this last week. I mean, yes, Kyle Whittingham's up there in age, just like Brian Kelly is and stuff, but we're not necessarily talking about the guy that's going to be there the next 20, but I think the next 2 or 3 years for Michigan football are very important to purge sour taste, whatever it is that's going on up there, to purge things and start afresh. So it'd be all right with me. I like Kyle Whittingham.
Absolutely. The Cotton Bowl is approaching fast, Tim. Did you know that Dallas, Texas has the biggest Ohio State alumni base? Did you know that?
Yes, I did know that. Number one. Number two, it's really funny when they go to Arizona. Arizona brags about it. Where would they play next? If, in fact, they win next Thursday, it'd be Arizona.
Second biggest place.
It's crazy. The home away from home, DeVere, you know this, but the home away from home – for you players, when y'all would go out on a road game, that was nuts, because not everybody, hardly anybody, does that to the extent Ohio State fans do. But
the bowl game is where you, as a player, for me, I started to understand the real vastness of Ohio State's fan base, because I remember my cousin called me. Yeah. We played USC at home. He said, "Man, I watched the game from Ohio State bar." I said, "Are you in Columbus?" I said, "Are you in Columbus?" He said, "No, I'm in Atlanta. They have an Ohio State bar in every city." And it hit me. I was like, "Oh, wow, I didn't know that." But I wanted to ask you, with the Cotton Bowl approach.
New York City, man. New York City has a huge one. Has right? A couple. Go ahead now.
But when you're a player, Tim, you don't know that stuff. You realize it after. And so Arizona and Dallas are the two places for me as a pro that I really don't to the Ohio State. And there's great Buckeye fans out there. But I wanted to ask you, over this holiday season, I even kind of whispered some stuff to Reimer. This play calling thing and where it's sat with Hartline and Day for the last 2 to 3 years. And then obviously, for some reason, the Chick-fil-A bowl is in my head. The game that he called with CJ Stroud. And I remember him walking into the Mercedes-Benz Dome, getting the crowd hype, Ryan Day, and just boom. And then, the next year, we come back as Chip with our, as our offensive coordinator. What is happening here? How do we digest this? Who's calling plays next Saturday?
Yeah, and by the way, that was 2 years later, because don't forget the Cotton Bowl.
Oh, I forgot that on purpose. I forget that on purpose.
Forgettable game.
That game never happened. Yeah, that game never happened.
I think it's sitting. I think it's sitting extremely well. Here's the thing. Here's the thing about the Chick-fil-A bowl. I remember I got into this with Paul Feinbaum one time because he was, you know, he would egg me on with different things, and I go, you know, you got to remember in the Chick-fil-A bowl that game with C.J. Stroud, they went in without Travion Henderson and Jackson Smith and Jigba, and then they lost their tight end, and they lost the best wide receiver in college football that year, Marvin Harrison Jr., and they still almost won that game. Are you kidding me, right? Finally, they just kind of ran out of viable players. But I think with Rand, they, you know, taking over the play calling, people – he explained it again the other day, and people just don't want to hear this. I mean, it's the play calling is a consortium of what's going on in that offensive meeting room, and he named off all the offensive coaches, and he's right. I mean, they go for hours figuring out what to run and when to run it, et cetera. And you know this, man, third and seven, they probably have six or eight plays sitting there in front of them, maybe more than that. And same with any other. You know,
but one person has to pick that play.
Oh yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. And so I don't think it'll be a problem with Ryan Day calling the plays. I mean, I expect aggressive play calling in this game is what I expect. And whatever how you define that, I expect them to throw the ball down the field if they can protect. The big deal is can they protect against. Because Miami's big shot is getting to Julian Say, and if they don't, I think Ohio State can have some really nice success in this game offensively.
Tim May, I think the Buckeye fans would appreciate some aggressive play calling too. Last one here for you. When they entered the season, Penn State was ranked number 2. Clemson was ranked number 4. So I don't think a lot of people would be surprised if you would have said that those two teams would match up in a bowl game, especially a college football playoff game this year. But those two teams will be playing tomorrow in the Bad Boy Mowers Pinstripe Bowl in Yankee Stadium. Who would have seen that one coming?
An apropos name in an apropos setting. That's the way I look at it. What was it, the Patriot Bowl, the show coach when they played, it was like 25 degrees, remember that? But y'all don't even remember the sitcom coach.
I sure do. Was it Hayden Fox, right?
Yeah, Hayden Fox, baby. But I think that's an appropriate ending for those two programs for this season. They should call it the overhyped, overranked bowl brought to you by, I don't know, name the worst toy you could get for Christmas. it's pretty funny how you expect things to go, and then people start backtracking and stuff, like on Texas, the preseason number 1. Are you kidding me? I mean, the way it slid. So, we got to let things play out sometimes, right, fellas, and then see how it goes. But by the way, me and Pat Murphy are hosting the Buckeye Show tonight from 6 to 8. I thought I'd put a little plug in there in case anybody wants to tune in. It's funny how things work out at the beginning of the year and at the end of the year that those two teams are playing. I mean, wow, you talk about disappointing seasons. You can't even make this stuff up.
For sure. He's the host of the Tim May Show with Clay Hall on FanStreamSports.com. And as he just told you, he and Pat Murphy will be hosting the Buckeye Show later tonight. So make sure you tune in. Tim May, always great to talk to you on a Friday.
Hey, can I ask one quick question? DeVere, did y'all put a spin limit on your kids? Or how do you approach it from a daddy Santa Claus standpoint?
Oh, I get like 2 gifts and then I let the grandparents go crazy. I step away. Yeah, I step away. I don't buy plastic.
Oh, you don't. There you go, man. Yep. That's why I've always liked you.
Yep.
Again, the host of the Tim May Show with Clay Hall, Tim May, joining us here on the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We'll do a little thing or not a thing next. It's Bishop and Friends on the Fan.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE. It's the Daily Show with Coach Jake Diebler, brought to you by Encova Insurance. Jake, when I ask you about how the responsibilities get divided up amongst your coaching staff, with one person handling offense, one with defense, player recognition, personnel recognition, I should say, and just how that all happens.
Yeah, we break it up similar to like a football staff. Offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. You know, we have a coach who helps with substitutions. We have a coach who helps with personnel. We have a coach who specifically helps with end of game, understanding what our opponents have done in the past. So we're very specific about how we break up the responsibilities.
Okay, we'll have another comment in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Archie Griffin, two-time Heisman Trophy winner. The right coverage can be a game changer, both on and off the court. That's why Encova Insurance and their local independent agents are prepared for what's next and protect what matters most to you. Whether that's your home, car, business, or family, Encova's got your back with a policy that fits you perfectly. With local independent agents in your neighborhood and innovative insurance products that can be tailored to fit your unique needs, Encova's playbook is an easy win for your peace of mind. Basketball is full of challenging shots, and life can be too. With Encova, you don't have to do it alone. Your expert agent will guide you and provide insurance solutions so you can confidently manage your risk and count on a financially secure future. For auto, home, and business insurance, you want Encova on your team. Visit Encova.com today to find an agent near you. Encova is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Go Bucks!
At Ohio State, we are the never afraid to innovate teams. The agile, get it done teams. The achieve more together teams. And the improve people's lives teams. Together, we are the Ohio State University.
Learn more about Ohio State at osu.edu/impact.
Jake, as we're talking about responsibilities for assistant coaches, one can only wonder, in hectic moments and in fast moments as the game's going on, how the communication on the bench gets handled, how the message gets relayed as quickly as possible.
Well, I think that's where guys got to really kind of have that laser focus on their area. And, you know, obviously guys are communicating to me and I'm communicating to the team. And at times they're echoing that communication as guys, you know, we're huddled up together and guys have questions. But, you know, I think we have great chemistry and connection on the staff. And I think that's why it's, you know, those moments for us aren't chaotic, because we have that chemistry.
Is that where continuity helps?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a big, big, big important part. It's just as roster retention is important, so staff retention.
Yeah, this is the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
Hello, I'm Ross Bjork, Senior Vice President and Eugene Smith Wolf Foundation Endowed Athletics Director at The Ohio State University. In partnership with AEP, Donato's, Kroger, The Ohio State University, Wexner Medical Center, Huntington, and 10TV, Ohio State Athletics strives to inspire the community to make a positive impact on children and families in our great state through the Buckeyes Care Initiative. Show and share your support in the community by using the hashtag #BuckeyesCare.
Tis the season to be hungry at Roosters. That's why for every $50 spent on Roosters gift cards, you'll receive a $10 Rooster Buck back in your stocking. May your holidays be filled with friends and family, love and laughter, and of course, Roosters Wings. Go to roosterswings.com today or drop by any Roosters location to purchase your $50 holiday gift cards and receive a $10 Rooster Buck in return. Happy holidays from all of us at Roosters. Roosters, a fun casual joint.
You know a thing or two about the moments in life that matter. You've seized those moments to embrace joy, accomplish great things, and build meaningful relationships. Is it time now to sit back and reflect on a life well lived? Maybe. Or maybe there's more to be done. Maybe this is the most important moment you've encountered yet. By volunteering with AmeriCorps Seniors, you can seize the moment, lend a hand, and get back more than you give. We connect you to local volunteer organizations with opportunities that fit your schedule and match your interests. Through AmeriCorps Seniors, you can support people in times of need and make your community stronger. You can become a companion to your older neighbors, brightening their days with friendship. You can even become a mentor for young people, serving as a role model and enriching their lives. Are you ready to seize your moment? Visit AmeriCorps.gov/yourmoment and get started today.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Find us on YouTube. Search WBNS Radio and you can see what Bo looks like. But only if you subscribe. This is Bishop and Friends.
Yes, it is. No Bo, no Reese today. I'm here, though, Ryan Baker. Devere Posey with me as well. Jacob Reimer on the other side of the glass. And now we're going to do a little thing or not a thing.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
Ohio Athletic Director Slade Larsheed said Monday that he did not know of former head coach Brian Smith's extramarital relationships when he took over as AD back in September. Smith, of course, was fired for cause last week by Ohio's president as the school detailed what it described as affairs Smith had with an undergraduate student and another woman while separated but not divorced from his wife. The school also alleged that Smith was intoxicated during a public appearance. Smith has denied being intoxicated at the event and said the relationships were consensual. Speaking ahead of the team's 17-10 Frisco Bowl win over UNLV, Larsheed said that he supported the university's decision and was involved in the process, but that any such issues were not on his radar before accepting the job earlier this season. Larsheed was previously the deputy AD at South Dakota State. Thing or not a thing?
Oh, man, this is a thing because with coaches' contracts, there is a clause that says you can't have relationships with staffers and students. Now, guys, the Sharon Moore, this stuff all coming out in 1 week, it brings me back to Mel Tucker. You can keep your job and go through a divorce. Just go through a divorce, man. Mm-hmm. just get divorced and keep your job and move on.
Yeah, this is a big thing because, just like you said, Devere, just be faithful and do your job. Stay focused there. Come on.
I would think that's rule number one for anyone at a school. It's a teacher, a coach, you know, any kind of staffer is do not have a relationship with a student.
Leave the kids alone.
I don't think this is a truthful thing, though, because I can't believe... Especially, it sounds like everybody down in Athens knew stuff was going on with this head coach. I can't believe that the AD on the way out hadn't said, you know, hey, this stuff's kind of... I just can't believe that being the AD at the school that he didn't know, that someone didn't give him a heads up.
Yeah.
And I understand he was coming in from South Dakota State. It's different. But... You would have to think somewhere along the lines in the interview processes, somebody would have said something like, hey, you might want to pay attention to this. There could be a problem down the road. A lot of people know about. I would just think somebody would have given him a heads up.
Yeah. Man. You think knowing your personnel, your biggest sports head coach, you would do your research. Yeah, I'm with you on that, Big. I don't know how you don't know.
Good thing for interim coach John Hauser, though, leading OU to that win over UNLV in the Frisco Bowl. The Baltimore Sun reported on Tuesday that Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson has fallen asleep in team meetings and that head coach John Harbaugh has become tired of the two-time NFL MVP. The report also says that Jackson has a habit of staying up late, playing video games, and the Ravens give him preferential treatment, including moving their practice schedule to the afternoon for Jackson. Jackson is doubtful for the Ravens' Saturday night game in Lambeau Field against the Packers. If Baltimore loses that game, they will officially be eliminated from the postseason. Thing or not a thing?
Well, it's a thing going on in Baltimore right now. I think Lamar is itching towards 30. And you say, well, the athletic abilities start to slide and decline. All stats and science are pointing towards yes. Harbaugh, a mountain of fourth quarter leads just blown over last five. Just like, what? Just your playoff hopes. Like, you go back to all of these home playoff games that Kansas City, the Buffalo, and the Bengals have came in the M&T Bank Stadium and won. And you say, for this organization, who is, you know, I was hearing Colin Cowherd talk about this in between segments. He said, this is a proud organization. Pashadi, they've had a lot of success. Like, these aren't the Browns or these aren't the Bengals. They're not afraid to say, this behavior, we don't condone it. But I think at the end of the season, there will be a coming to Jesus moment with Harbaugh and Lamar. I don't know which direction the organization goes in, but something has to happen.
I feel like I can't speak for everybody, but I feel like everybody views Lamar in that conversation with Josh Allen of like, what's next? Like, you're winning an MVP and you've been awesome during regular season, but now you got to show up in the playoffs. When are you going to get to that Super Bowl? Because I feel like that's been the conversation with Josh Allen, is especially now with the depleted AFC. You can't get to the Super Bowl with this when Patrick Mahomes is down, Joe Burrow's down. Joe Burrow's been to a Super Bowl before you. Like, when are you going to kind of take that upon yourself to, like, I need to get to that next level?
I think this is a thing, and it's probably maybe more of a thing than any of us realize, because if this is getting leaked out and the Baltimore Sun has an article on it, then yep, something serious is going on there. And we'll probably talk a little bit about this more coming up in the next hour, because we are going to get into a lot of NFL and playoff pictures and scenarios coming up in the third hour of the program. But we'll kick it off next with what we learned this week. It's Bishop and Friends on The Fan.
T-Bone and Tybus are everything you want in a delicious breakfast. Lots of empty calories, no nutritional value.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 9.
The Fan.
We are the keepers of the wild, America's original and most invested conservationists. For more than 80 years, we've been committed to conserving wildlife and the natural landscapes that define our nation. From rugged alpine ridgelines to peaceful tall grass prairies, we've supported the conservation of more than 36 million acres of American wildlands. Our funding has led to cleaner water, fresher air, and improved wildlife habitat. From abundant fish and waterfowl populations to robust deer and elk herds, nothing is more important than maintaining wild spaces for adventurers to explore and wildlife to thrive. We are America's hunters and target shooters, stewards of the American outdoors.
America's hunters and target shooters, along with firearm, ammunition, and archery manufacturers, have invested more than $46 billion to help state fish and wildlife agencies manage and protect wildlife and wildlands across America. For more information, visit OutdoorStewards.org.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
People, I was the luckiest guy in the world. I wanted to be an army man or a fireman, and I got to do both. As a firefighter, my job was about saving lives. I never thought one day I would be fighting for mine.
After spending his career answering the call to save others, Ken was diagnosed with ALS. Now he's facing his biggest battle, for more time. For 70 years, Muscular Dystrophy Association has been answering the call to help people live longer and more independent lives.
MDA means to me hope.
MDA is leading the way for people living with ALS, muscular dystrophy, and other neuromuscular diseases by accelerating research, advancing care, and advocating to empower families like Ken's.
I wouldn't be living as good of a life with ALS if it wasn't for MDA. MDA is helping people live stronger and love longer. Learn more at MDA.org today.
My name is Damar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit LindsayHonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus.
Good morning. I'm Ryan Baker, Pete Thamel, and ESPN reporting this morning that Michigan has turned their head coaching search focus towards former Utah head coach Kyle Whittingham. Whittingham stepped down as the head coach of the Utes after 21 seasons at the school earlier this month. Donovan Mitchell scored 34 last night, but his three at the buzzer comes up short. The Cleveland Cavaliers lose to the New York Knicks, 126-124. Jalen Brunson paced the Knicks with 34 of his own. Three NFL games on Christmas Day. The Cowboys beat the Commanders 30-23. The Vikings topped the Detroit Lions 23-10. And Denver beat Kansas City 20-13. This one's sponsored by the Lion's Den, the official store for pleasure, passion, and romance. Shop discreetly in-store or online and unlock a world of confidence and connection at the Lion's Den.
Connect with the show on X at 971BFS. Jump in our YouTube chat or just send a raven. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Final hour of the program on this Friday after Christmas show. Hopefully everybody had a great Christmas holiday. We're going to get into a lot of NFL coming up here in the next couple of segments. Playoff scenarios, who's in, who's out, what kind of surprised us so far this year. But first, let's kick off this final hour with what we learned.
Too much around here, but over the course of 5 days, you might have gleaned some stuff. Bishop and Friends present what we've learned this week.
So we've talked a lot about the college football playoff here on the show and the Ohio State-Miami matchup in the Cotton Bowl. One thing I learned this week, Devere, is that former Georgia defensive lineman and now college football analyst David Pollack, rhyme time, he may not be the smartest at watching football.
When I looked at this game and I started to break it down, Brent, Miami's better on both sides of the line of scrimmage. Miami's offensive line to me is better than Ohio State's. Miami's defensive line is better than Ohio State's.
So, Devere, I don't know. I haven't watched a ton of Miami football this year, but I know that Malioa, their right tackle, was really special. And he's a guy that's going to be picked probably in the top 10, definitely top 15 of this upcoming NFL draft. I know that Reuben Bain on that defensive end is really good, and he's going to be a high pick in this coming upcoming NFL draft. But to say that both lines are better than Ohio State, I don't know if that's true. In fact, I think this Ohio State offensive line has been pretty daggone good this year. Did they get tested in the Big Ten championship game against Indiana? Sure they did. But that Indiana defensive line is nothing to sneeze at either. They're really good. I think Caden Curry and Caden McDonald and Kenyatta Jackson have had a really damn good year on that Ohio State defensive line. I also know that those lines of scrimmage for Miami lost to SMU and to Louisville. So I don't know if what David Pollack's seeing that says that that Miami in the trenches is just definitively better than Ohio State.
Yeah, and I think those are the debatable position groups that you could probably go either one way or like, hey, like, these teams are pretty much evenly stacked. You got good production on the outside from Bain. You got good production from Ohio State's rushers. It could kind of go either way. But I can see him giving the edge to Miami. But there was nothing in that statement that I felt like was like, hey, because these offensive line or this defense might be better, this means these guys win the game. For me, this game comes down to playmakers. Defensive back end for Miami. Ohio State being able to attack. Like, let's just say it. The South Florida Express is going to be clicking on all cylinders for this one. Because, like, if you trust and believe a person from Miami Gardens, Julian Sand, who played for SFE, Carnell Tate, who played for SFE, Brennan Ennis, who played for SFE, aren't hyped to go against Miami position group-wise, guys that they've gone against 7-on-7 for years, guys that they've probably beaten one-on-ones hundreds of times. We are looking forward to the back end. So I get David Pollack saying this is the debatable position group. I'm not mad at it. It's debatable, but skill position, playmaker-wise, we got the edge for sure.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question there. Malachi Toney, the freshman receiver, very good for Miami, but obviously not Jeremiah Smith or Carnell Tate. And the depth of the receivers on Miami is not there either. And Mark Fletcher, really good running back. There's a reason Ohio State recruited him. I think I'd rather have Bo Jackson. Yep. I think I'd rather have Isaiah West and, you know, the crew that Ohio State has there. I don't want to discount, like I said, I don't want to discount the lines of scrimmage for Miami, because they do really, they have some really good players and some guys that are going to be drafted high, but just to say that they're definitively that much better, especially on that defensive line, where Ohio State's the number one defense in the country, and they've been as good as they have all season long. Something else I learned, and I guess I learned this last night and this morning, Nikola Jokic is having an all-time type season in the NBA, and I just had no clue. We talked about some of the numbers earlier. He's fifth in the league in scoring, just under 30 points a game at 29.8, which, by the way, there's four guys averaging over 30 points a game in the NBA right now. That's crazy. I don't know if I ever remember a season like that where guys are averaging, that many guys are averaging over 30 points. I know we're still in the first half of the season, but my goodness. Nikola Jokic, first in the league in rebounds per game at 12.1 a game. He leads the league in assists as a 6'11", 290-pound center with 11 assists a game. His game last night, 56, 15, and 16. Just ridiculous numbers from Jokic. What a season this guy's having.
Was he averaging this year again?
29.8 points, 12.1 rebounds, 11 assists.
Yeah, he's outpacing himself MVP-wise. I mean, he's, right now, it's better than all his MVP campaigns, man. It's just, you got to give it to him again.
I say that he's been the best player in the world the last 6 years, would you guys disagree?
No.
I don't think you can.
No.
I know. Like, this is unbelievable. Like, I looked at that stat line, and I was like, are we sure he hasn't done this before?
Like, and the crazy thing is, like, he could be better. And I know that sounds good, but like, you've seen his off seasons, Jacob, right? Like, if this dude stay here and train,
he's racing horses.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's like he could be better. He could be more dominant. Mm-hmm. It's just crazy thing about it.
In an NBA that's maybe as athletic, more athletic than it's ever been. Like, he's not the norm. Like, it just looks different. He's just so. His basketball IQ is so high. His court savvy is off the chains. Yep. And it's just his physicality. It's just because of his pure size is just different.
Yeah, and I mean, and like you said, his IQ allows him to do whatever he wants on the court. You know, rebound, make assists. But the team, the game, the ball all goes through him. And if I'm one of his teammates, I would love to play with a guy like Joker, just because he's such a smart guy. That, you know, if he puts me in this spot, I'm probably going to get a shot, or I'm probably rebounding for him. So
I was just looking at some of the other guys at the top of the scoring list, right? Luka Doncic, who is great in his own right, 33.7 points a game. He's averaging 8.5 rebounds and 8.7 assists a game. That's probably pretty much the closest to Jokic. And then you go down through the list. I just keep going down. Cade Cunningham, 9.4 assists a game. And 6.4 rebounds, averaging 26.4 points. Go down Jalen Johnson of the Hawks. He's only averaging 23.8 points a game, but he is averaging 10.5 assists and 10.5 rebounds, 8.3 assists. There's nobody even close to putting up triple double numbers like Jokic right now.
Yep, nope. In first last 6 years.
it's impressive.
I learned this week that the Spurs are legit title contenders, because you can kind of go from last night, but earlier this week too, they've now beaten the Thunder 2 games in a row, 3 times this year. And of course, like, before December, we were wondering, can the Thunder break 73-9? Well, if they play the Spurs every game, they're not doing that, because the Spurs just have their number right now, and they're doing things elite on defense, and Like, Wimby's even coming off the bench the last... I think they've played the three times they've played this year.
6-0.
The NBA Cup and yeah, they're coming off the bench.
The Spurs are a legit title contender. One thing I must say, I love the way that Popovich handed off the job to Coach Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And bottom line, Johnson wouldn't have never got an opportunity if Popovich didn't hand the job off the way he did. But that guy has been there for the development of drafting all of these players. Another organization that's built through the draft,
yep,
not through free agency.
It does help when you get a 7'5" alien, but
well, that too, and then also the maturity of Dylan Harper, yeah, right away becoming a,
yeah,
like, and he's for real,
yeah,
like he's not like a rookie that's playing good. No, he's gonna be a star. And then you have all of these other just scrappy.
You've got great vets like De'Aaron Fox, Harrison Barnes. Like, Harrison Barnes, a guy vets that's been there. He's an NBA champ.
They are true title contenders. True title contender. I'm with you on that.
Stephon Castle's been awesome, too. I saw this coming from him at UConn.
The young vet.
It was going to be a problem.
He's supposed to be a junior in college.
Yeah.
The one thing, and maybe fair or not, I don't know, that scares me about the Spurs is just, can Victor Wembanyama stay healthy? Because there's a track record,
it's a fair question,
of guys that tall and skinny just not being able to stay healthy. We talked about Jokic. He's 6'11", 290 pounds. There may be questions about Jokic if he takes care of his body enough, and he's going to be able to have a long career. But there's no doubt that he can take the physicality night in and night out. Victor Wembanyama has 5 inches on him and weighs 235 pounds. So can he take the physicality, the grind, night in and night out? That's the one thing that concerns me with his career and the Spurs' chances of winning the title.
I just know that I need an OKC and San Antonio matchup in the playoffs, because that would be cinema.
I need a healthy Jalen Williams, too.
Yeah, but there's a rivalry brewing there. That's great for the league, and especially between Wimby and Chet. I don't know. They've got some kind of beef. It's incredible.
Yep. I love it. I mean, it's for the Spurs team. If they can stay healthy late into the season, you always wonder, right, because OKC had to get there and learn, and then they came back. They might be 1 or 2 years,
yeah,
you know, like those Toronto.
They got to be tested first.
They got to be tested, right? You got to go to win late in the season. I don't know if the Spurs team has it yet, but this might be a year that they might make a Western Conference finals run.
That would be fun. I don't know if Shai Gilgeous-Alexander would like that, though, because it hasn't been good so far this year. We'll get into the NFL. Most of the playoff spots are set here with 2 games to go. We will break down some of those and maybe some surprises in the NFL season this year so far. It's Bishop and Friends on The Fan.
Unlike your deadbeat uncle, we'll never leave you stranded in a ditch when you were 6. This promo may have been a touch too specific. The Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Syncytial virus, or RSV, is a common seasonal virus, but it can have major implications on a patient's heart health. Most RSV cases involve mild cold-like symptoms, but up to 160,000 adults are hospitalized each year for more serious cases. And RSV can escalate chronic health issues. If you're over the age of 60, talk to your doctor to find out if the new RSV vaccine is right for you. And learn more at heart.org/RSV.
When it comes to prostate cancer, go to PCF.org for the help you need to navigate this disease and make the right decisions for yourself. Go to PCF.org today.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
All your favorite and least favorite fan shows are available wherever you get your podcasts. Just type in 971 The Fan to the search bar and hit that subscribe button. It's free.
We're the land of the free and the home of the sunburnt, freckled fat guy.
Do it now.
Come on.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Max, you look absolutely dashing in that purple tie. Ready to harness the world?
You bet, Daisy. I'm ready as I'll ever be. And might I say, your purple tie really pops with your vest.
Thanks. I almost went with a cape, but didn't want to come across as pretentious.
Nonsense. Anyone in our line of work should rock a cape.
You might be onto something, Max.
Phew. So here we go. First day on the job. We've got this, right?
Right. Don't forget, we both graduated from Dogs, Inc. with honors.
Which means I can guide my human around a busy city with ease.
And I can give my human a restful night.
I hope my human is kind and loving.
And I hope mine likes wet kisses and zoomies.
Ready to make a difference?
Born ready. Let's go.
Discover how extraordinary dogs like Daisy and Max change lives at no cost to the recipients. Visit dogsinc.org.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We are going to see some patchy fog linger. Otherwise, scattered showers today and cloudy skies with daytime highs getting into the low 60s and breezy winds. For tonight, mostly cloudy overnight with our lows in the 30s. And then for Saturday, we'll start the weekend dry and mostly cloudy with highs in the mid to upper 40s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Have you already started your tailgate? Us too. It's Football Friday.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. Our top men are working on everything except this show.
We have top men working on it right now.
Who? Top men.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Welcome back in, Bishop and Friends. Ryan Baker, the Great Eight, Devere Posey, and Jacob Reimer all in with you today. Bo will be back on Monday. Reese, he'll still be out on Monday. He will be back on Tuesday. Rhyme time, you with me and Bo on Monday, is that correct?
I am.
All right, sounds good. Devere, before we get into some of the NFL playoff talk that I wanted to get into, somebody on the YouTube chat, Chimney Cheek Was Burner, said, I'd love to hear from Devere, what were the biggest, toughest changes going from playing American football like you had your whole life to the CFL?
The toughest changes are the most enjoyable changes, because I think the tough things I liked. I liked the extra defender. You have one more person, and I think that just schematically, like what you see, like defensive picture, it just looks muddy a little bit at first. But once you start to identify this like safety slash linebacker or this running back slash wide receiver, you kind of understand that the extra eligible player is not an extra offensive lineman. It's not an extra quarterback, not an extra running back. It's just a slot receiver and a nickel. And so you just look at the passing pictures as six eligibles versus five. And then I think in the CFL, they don't end a game with the clock running out. Like you can't. So I don't even know how to explain this. So like after 3 minutes, at 3 minutes, the clock stops. So that means a team can't take four knees under 4 minutes and end the game. You have to end on an offensive play. So it allows for a 57 plus three type of game. 57 minutes plus three, totally different game. You can score 21 points in this 3 minutes because the clock stops and you can't run the clock out by taking knees. So I would say like that's the biggest difference, babe, because like you can be down 14 and then punch one in at 4 minutes, get a stop, punch another one in, get another stop and punch it. Like you score 21 mm-hmm. minutes in under 3 minutes is kind of crazy.
There's no just running it out.
There's no running it out.
Going.
It makes it, I think it makes for better endings.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it makes the game more entertaining from a fan standpoint. And I would love for the NFL to implement just that one rule. I think would change. Just the clock stops at 3 minutes. So like no 2 minute warning. It starts at 3 minutes and then the clock stops after every play. It would just make the NFL a lot more exciting.
I think it's interesting hearing about all those different changes because I think most people, when they just think of Canadian football, they think of the bigger field. and the bigger size, and that's it. I don't think they know that there's actual rules differences between the two that could even something like that that just changes the end of a game.
Well, that means there's no Mayday situation. And I tell this story all the time. You know, Mike Sherman, he coached for Miami Dolphins, mm-hmm. and he was in Canada. He was up there for 1 year, and we're in 2 minute during training camp in Bake. This is the hardest time in training camp when you're like doing back to back 2 minutes. You're like, you're out of shape and then you're still trying to like learn the signals. And we had went up and down like three times. So I'm like pissed by this time. I'm like, I might get in a fight just so we can stop doing 2 minutes, just start fighting the DB. Just so they're like, all right, period, over. And we're approaching the goal line and Mike Sherman's son, Ben Sherman, says, Mayday, Mayday. And I look over, I said, there's no such thing as Mayday, you idiot. And because it's true, there's no situation where a kicking team has to run on the field with the time expiring and you kick the ball. That doesn't exist in the CFL. So I was just like, that's a big difference too. But I was pretty pissed at him that day, Jacob, I'll tell you what.
It's a great question from our YouTube chat. As always, you can check us out on YouTube. All of our shows live there every day. Don't forget the Bishop and Fred podcast as well. If you missed anything, you can go back and hear all of that. Just make sure you like and subscribe when you are there. The NFL playoff picture, Devere, it is not 100% set here, but we do have only a couple spots left up for grabs in the NFC. In fact, with the Lions' loss yesterday, 6 of the 7 spots are locked up now by those teams. Now, obviously, seeding can change a little bit, but the Seahawks, the Bears, the Eagles, the Rams, the 49ers, and the Packers will all be playing in the postseason in the NFC. It's either, so now it comes down to who wins that NFC South. Is it the Buccaneers or is it the Carolina Panthers? The Carolina Panthers and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers will play each other the last week of the season. The Panthers right now at 8-7. The Buccaneers are sitting there at 7-8. They have two totally different games this week, though. And, of course, it's the NFL. You never know. Tampa heads down to Miami, who just looked lifeless with Quinn Ewers at quarterback there against the Bengals last week. Carolina has a tough one against Seattle, even though Seattle has already clinch their playoff spot. They're still trying to win the number one seed in the NFC and win that NFC West. So a lot on the line still for Seattle as they travel cross country to take on Carolina. Very well could be a winner take all situation in the NFC South next week.
Yeah, super tight race and a lot of good, you know, NFC teams. And you got to shout out the NFC North for just being back to Brett Favre type of standards, right? Like, it's been a while since the NFC North has been relevant. And obviously, with the Seahawks and Sam Darnold's resurgence and JSN, the year they're having, and Coach McDonald out there, super excited for that organization. But to me, it's been enjoyable watching Emeka Buka and Baker Mayfield play this season. And I'll be honest, it was like week 4 or 5, I was like sitting on the patio and I said to myself, I said, could Baker win MVP this year? How he was playing at the beginning of the year.
Boy, how has that changed?
It's changed. You can't jump on that bandwagon too fast. But but at that time, I enjoyed watching the Buccaneers. So I'm going to be rooting for the Buccaneers this weekend, Bake. I want to see them get in over the Panthers. I'm super happy for Bryce Young and turning it around down there. But I would love to see Tampa Bay get in for sure.
In the AFC, you have 5 of the 7 spots locked up already. The Broncos, Patriots, Jaguars, Bills, and Chargers have all clinched playoff spots. So you have the winner of the AFC North. It's looking like that's going to be Pittsburgh. There's a possibility that could change as Baltimore. If Baltimore can somehow win against Green Bay on Saturday night, then the Steelers are in Cleveland. You would think that the Steelers are going to win that game, but it is a rivalry game, so you never know. And then next week It could be a winner-take-all situation as Baltimore travels to Pittsburgh for that AFC North. So, again, if you want to root for chaos, you root for the Browns this weekend. So you could possibly see another winner-take-all, although the Steelers will know that. If
you root for the Browns, you root for chaos.
The Steelers will know that heading into Saturday, though, because Baltimore plays into Sunday, because Baltimore plays Saturday night this week.
Oh, that's right.
When they're in Lambeau Field. Yep. The other spot in the AFC is probably the Texans. The Colts still have like a 3% chance to get in there. Phillip Rivers, what a crazy story. We've talked a little bit about that off air, but it looks like the Texans will be that seventh seed or that seventh team to get a spot in the NFL. We'll talk a little bit more about the playoff situation in the NFL and what kind of surprises. Like, I think we're all kind of surprised that the Chiefs aren't in this playoff consideration, as they've already been eliminated. Yep. We'll talk about some of that coming up in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends on
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah. They've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
10 feet tall and bulletproof isn't just a saying, it's a way of life. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Yes, you are. Brian Baker, Devere Posey, and Jacob Reimer in with you today on this Friday edition of Bishop and Friends. Again, Bo will be back Monday. Reese will be back on Tuesday. Talking about the NFC and AFC playoff scenarios in the NFL, I remember way back at the beginning of the year, Devere, Bo and Reese and I all did our playoff predictions for the NFL, like who would win, what divisions, who would be the wild cards, all of that. And it's funny how sometimes you get things right, and sometimes at the same time you get a lot of things wrong. And I believe all of us, and probably most people, just penciled in the Kansas City Chiefs to be in the playoffs because that's what they've done, right? They've done it every year. Patrick Mahomes has been the quarterback of the Chiefs. Until this year, this is the first year that the NFL playoffs are going to be played since 1998, Devere, without Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, or Patrick Mahomes. That's crazy to think just how those three have, you know, did so well and have been here so much. But it's interesting, and we talked about it every year. On average, six NFL teams that made the playoffs last year will not make it this year. And six that didn't make it last year will. And we're looking at a scenario here where I believe if the Carolina Panthers get in the postseason, we will have that. We'll have two new teams in the AFC, and we'll have four new teams in the NFC. And that's just wild to think, and just how good that NFC West is. Yeah, it's very interesting. And we were talking off air here a little bit, and you were mentioning all the things why he couldn't, but if Josh Allen doesn't make the Super Bowl this year with no Burrow, no Mahomes, no Lamar Jackson possibly, when could he ever do it? Because, and you mentioned some of this Bills team this year probably isn't as good as some of those teams that didn't make it, but your biggest nemesis, your kryptonite, Patrick Mahomes, isn't there.
Yeah, and then also the emergence of young quarterbacks. Bo Nix, Drake May, and Trevor Lawrence, those young guys are for real. And then you have this whole wily vet and this old vet team, this 9-6, this 10-6 team that could possibly sneak in with the vets. And then for me, I'm rooting for the old guys, right? Like the Phillip Rivers of the world, Aaron Rodgers, want those guys to get it done. But when you study Tom Brady and all of the Patrick Mahomes comparisons, babe, there was a time where Tom Brady hurt his knee, and you've seen the Instagram splits, the comparisons on the eerily close up, like career track that Patrick Mahomes is on versus what Brady was on. And I remember Brady had to restart. Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft had to restart that dynasty three times. you had the first round with Teddy Bruschi and those guys, right? And then you had the second round with Julian Edelman and Wes Welker Randy Moss and Wes Welker. Then you had the prelude with Aaron Hernandez and the evolution with those guys and Gronk. And then he goes to Tampa and has a new life. And so for Patrick, he's so talented, and the Travis Kelce era, to me, that combo will go down as like the Wes Welker, Tom Brady, Randy Moss combo. It was a great time that Kelce and Mahomes had. But there will be a new time for Mahomes because he's that good of a player and he's that generational that he'll be around for a while. And this franchise has to transition to the next dynasty.
You want to know what that next dynasty is going to include? Because they're going to then be awful next year with Mahomes recovering from his torn ACL, and they're going to get the number one pick, and they're going to draft Jeremiah Smith.
You see?
And then it's over. It's over for the rest of NFL, rest of the world. It's over.
That would be ridiculous. You know what was funny is I thought last year, and they ended up drafting Josh Simmons, but I thought last year that they were going to draft Travion Henderson, and that would have been a perfect weapon for Patrick Mahomes. Well, we see what he's doing in New England and with Drake May and everything. But
so dynamic.
And Travion probably would have been a great weapon for 32 NFL teams, right? But I just feel like in that Andy Reid system with Patrick Mahomes, he would have been real dangerous. We do something, Devere, every Tuesday on this program during the NFL season, where we do the NFL Blitz. And one of the last things we do, the last thing we do on our NFL Blitz is our Super Bowl prediction right now.
Yep.
This past week, I believe mine was New England versus San Francisco. From what you've seen so far in the NFL this year, and partly I did that because before the year I picked San Francisco to be in the Super Bowl. I picked Kansas City versus San Francisco. So I kind of, you know, was just going with something I went with all along. If you had to choose two teams right now to be in the Super Bowl, who would be your two teams and why?
I'm gonna go Rams and Steelers.
Because of the experience at quarterback?
I love developmental guys who've been there before. When you have 3,000 throws, you can make all the great throws. But when you have three throws, you got to make three throws. Bo Nix, Drake May, Trevor Lawrence, Sam Darnold, Ken Williams, Jordan Love, Bryce Young. I don't know. I just don't know if you guys can do it. But I know Jalen Hurts can. I know Brock Purdy can. I know Aaron Rodgers can. And I know Matthew Stafford can. So I'm going to go with those guys.
So Bo has been very big on the Los Angeles Rams all year. He's really liked them. He likes that combination of Matthew Stafford and McVay. And that's one of the reasons I never bet against the Kansas City Chiefs is that combo of Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. And I think that combo not only is important in the league, but it's even more important come playoff time. And that's why I've ran with them for the past few years, and that's worked out pretty well for me.
Yeah,
I think it's interesting with the Steelers because I get what you say.
I'm on a fence. Yeah,
that's another one though with the Chargers and maybe Josh Allen. Like if Herbert can't get over the hump this year,
it's more Herbert's year than Josh Allen's year.
When can he? And I am a guy who. And people run with this, but I am a guy who's not a Herbert believer.
Really?
People have tried to tell me that he's a top five quarterback in the NFL for a long time. And Justin Herbert's a guy that's always disappointed on the biggest stages to me. Even go back into college in Oregon, and they had some great teams at Oregon. Herbert's a guy that on the biggest stage has always come up short. So when people try to tell me he's a top five quarterback, I will push back on that because he's super talented.
I'm with you.
And you want the dude in fantasy, but he's never won a big game.
I know.
So Herbert too this year, like if he can't get over the hump this year, it's kind of like win with him.
Yeah.
But Bo really likes the Rams because of that, you know, and I understand that the Steelers thing though, that's interesting because Aaron obviously has the pedigree and he's obviously done it before. And the consistency with the Steelers organization is second to none. Like they're the best organization in football hands down to me, and I hate saying that as someone who roots for the Cleveland Browns and has his whole life.
I'll go them.
Do they
have Ravens and probably like
Philly?
Philly is up there. Yeah, Howie Roseman is running the best show in the business right now.
Do the Steelers, though, have enough weapons to get the job done? Because I don't know if they get into a game where you've got to score 30 points to win. I don't know if they can.
I don't think they're built for that.
No.
They are built to muddy games up, and they are built to win 18-5.
Like, but when you're playing some of these teams with these guys, they're going to drag you into that type of game.
They will. They will. And I'm not. And I don't want to, you know, I'm not saying the Steelers are going to win the Super Bowl. I just, you know, right now on the eve of the playoffs, you know, a couple weeks eves of the playoffs, I'm leaning towards experience with the Rams and the Steelers because I just don't know. Like, it's, we are, babe, we're in a weird spot. We don't got any Joe to lean on. We don't got any Pat to lean on. We got Lamar to lean on. It's like, we don't know these guys. I don't know these guys. I don't know how they're going to act when it gets like this. So,
You guys mentioned the two LA teams, the Rams and the Chargers. If you're looking at this, and the Broncos and Seahawks are currently the 2-1 seeds, are the two LA teams the two scariest that you would not want to see?
Yes. Yes.
Because unless the Bills win, then as of right now, like, that's who their next opponent would be, correct?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I think if you're the Seahawks and you're the 1 seed, I don't think you want to see either of those teams in your division. Mm-hmm. I don't think you want to see the 49ers or the Rams.
I like them against Green Bay.
Kyle Shanahan is another one who never been able to get over the hump, right? Kyle Shanahan, he's always got that cloud over him. But I think that 49ers team, especially right now, they're getting healthy. I think they would be a problem that I don't know if Seattle wants to see. I think the team that if I'm the Broncos, I don't want to see come up in the playoffs, and this may be crazy, I think it's Houston.
Texans. Yeah, because I was going to say,
Houston's defense is good enough. And CJ, if Nico and Tank Dell, you know, if Houston's getting healthy, I don't know if Houston has enough in the running game. I know Woody Marks has been, you know, serviceable here recently, but they haven't gotten much of Nick Chubb. I just think Houston, with that defense and the ability of C.J. Stroud, and we know they played Kansas City tough last year in that wild card game, I don't think I want to see the Texans.
They got outs by the Broncos by a field goal. It was 18-15 earlier this year. So they had them in a tight game.
Hurt that game?
It was a last-second field goal, and they really disrupted ball. I mean, they didn't even score 21 points. So you're right. In the Texans in 23, I think in the playoffs, didn't they go out there and beat them to go to Kansas City?
Yeah, and people, I think, kind of fell asleep on the Texans a little bit because of their start to this season. It was awful slow, but they've been playing pretty good down the stretch, especially that defense.
So then as of Davis right now, Mills. They would have to win in Foxborough and then have to go to
Denver. It's tough for the Texans. It's tough for Texas to win
in Foxborough. Yeah, it's a tough spot.
Yeah. I've lost in Foxborough in a Texas jersey a couple times. It's tough to win up there.
We will wrap up the show with three things coming up next. It's Bishop and Friends on The Fan.
We used to have a billboard with our host's face on it, but only ugly people work here now.
You mama say you ugly, hey!
The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Once there was a man who couldn't stand.
A mom who couldn't wait.
A scientific community that said it couldn't be done.
And then you.
And then I.
And then we.
Brought neuromuscular disease into screaming color with the Muscular Dystrophy Association.
For 75 years, our voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
We've willed the impossible into existence.
We've pushed the science.
Raised the funds.
Shifted the narrative.
And transformed the reality of life with neuromuscular diseases.
For 75 years, we've built communities together.
Established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And made it thrive.
Call that a legacy.
Call it impact.
Call it momentum.
Just call it ours.
Because it's the generations of community heroes that give MDA the strength we have today.
And until neuromuscular disease is a thing of the past, you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Hi, this is Martina McBride.
With online news, social media, and texting available 24/7, the world seems to be spinning faster and faster every day. And it can be overwhelming. Sometimes we just need to unplug and take a break from our electronic devices. It can help reduce stress and allow us to reflect on the things that are really important in our lives.
This message brought to you courtesy of the United States Air Force.
Do you hate?
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Some journeys start small, with small paws and big purpose.
Look how cute it'll fly, sweet girl.
Every great partnership begins with the first step.
Let's go.
Guiding them through the world so one day they can guide someone through life. With shared experience, confidence grows and the path becomes clear. It takes time, patience, and love. But the reward lasts a lifetime.
Good girl, Bella.
You don't just raise a puppy. You raise a future. Become a Dogs, Inc. puppy raiser. Give a dog a purpose. Give someone hope.
Learn more at dogsinc.org.
Hey there, Jane Lynch here. You want to hear something funny? Too bad. You want to hear something uplifting that will inspire you? Good. Because today, I want to talk to you about Direct Relief, a humanitarian organization that does seriously good work when it counts. Fires, hurricanes, earthquakes. When disaster strikes, Direct Relief immediately shows up with medicines, medical supplies, and everything doctors and nurses need to save lives. Let's ship her out! Every day across the United States and around the world, they're making an enormous difference. If someone needs help, Direct Relief helps. No politics, no red tape. Hey, what you doing over there?
Oh, I'm packing insulin for kids with diabetes.
See, every box here is literally a lifeline for someone in critical need. So check them out at directrelief.org. You might just bring a smile to someone's face.
Back in the day, if you wanted to listen to the fan, you turned on the radio, and that was the end of the story.
But now, oh baby, stream us live on the Fan app.
TuneIn app, iHeart app, we're everywhere.
The Fan, Ohio's streaming destination.
People don't realize that glaucoma is one of the leading causes of blindness.
Because there are often no early symptoms, nearly half of those with glaucoma may not even know they have it until vision loss has occurred.
I was diagnosed with normal tension glaucoma in July of 2020. And what we found out at that point was I had already lost 40% of my sight. And you think, it only affects people that are, you know, 75 or older, retired, grandparents, and that's not the reality of it.
I didn't think at all glaucoma was going to affect me because I didn't know of anyone that had glaucoma, no one in my family. When you have glaucoma, you can't get back that sight that you lost. And so early detection and treatment is vitally, vitally important.
Don't miss life's most beautiful moments. Schedule an eye exam today.
National Glaucoma Research, a Bright Focus Foundation program, offers free resources and tips for healthy vision.
Learn how to protect your sight at stopglaucoma.org.
Are you looking?
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
The perfect show for quarter zips and khaki shorts. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Final segment on this Friday edition of the program. Jacob, what do we got on the fan poll today?
The daily fan poll today is, what do you consider to be the best Christmas movie? You got Elf, Christmas Vacation, It's a Wonderful Life, or Other? And right now, Christmas Vacation is the leader at 56.5% of the votes. And then It's a Wonderful Life is at 14.1%. Sorry, Other is at 17.8%. Then it's a Wonderful Life and then Elf.
So I think the appropriate answer is other, because I think Home the Alone best too. Christmas movie is the one that I watched last night, and it was Home Alone 1. Now, you mentioned Home Alone 2. Home Alone 2. I started to watch Home Alone 2. I unfortunately fell asleep during that. I think both Home Alone 1 and 2 are fantastic.
Gotta go with Home Alone 1 and 2 for me as, like, top Christmas. I'm just a 90s kid, Jacob. I'll be honest with you. And there's things about that movie, like his dad's long camel coat walking in the airport, that like just stick in my head. Yes.
Well, I saw this clip going around yesterday from Home Alone, the first Home Alone, that at the beginning when they have the fight between Kevin and Buzz and the milk spills everywhere, his dad is cleaning it up and throws away Kevin's plane ticket.
Yep.
I never noticed that until someone put it out there on Twitter.
Well, that's why they were counting.
They didn't have enough tickets.
And then his dad is 35 and I'm 35. Right? Like, so you think about it, it's like, man, this guy, like, what do he do for a living?
Exactly. Like, owning that house in Chicago, taking all these people to
your
Paris?
Brother's kids out of town? What did Kevin's dad do? So that's my number one movie.
It must have been illegal, something like that.
One, two, three things.
Sponsored by Scioto Downs. Your play, your perks, your Caesar's reward spot.
So first thing for me, and Devere, you and I were just talking about this, and obviously I always enjoy doing a show with you because I like you and consider you a friend, but I love the insight that guys like you and Tyvus that played the game can give, just talking about certain things and what you see and why people do this. And I saw that ESPN started this last week. It's another altcast for Monday Night Football, and it's called Monday Night Football Playbook. And last week, they're going to have different players that jump on, but last week it was Field Yates, Dan Orlovsky, and Luke Kuechly, the former Carolina Panthers linebacker. And towards the end of that Monday Night Football game, the 49ers linebacker jumped a route and got it for a pick six. And before the play even happened, Luke Kuechly said what was going to happen and basically called the interception. And it's just that insight and that study, and it makes you know why Luke Kuechly was no physical specimen. But he was one of the best linebackers in the league because of that film study, and he was so smart, and he could read plays like that. I love that insight that you guys that you played can give.
You look at a guy like Luke Kuechly, and he, you know, the movie from X-Men Beast, Hank, like that to me is Luke Kuechly. Like, he wears glasses, he's a professional, but like under his lab coat, he's really a beast. He went to St. X High School. Maybe it's because they're blue, royal blue, but the dude is so smart, and these views and the content of let's show what's really happening. Let's get some mic'd up stuff. We were talking about how cool it would be to see a wide view. Like, I want to see the safeties and the DBs every play. I don't want to watch DNs rush offensive linemen. That sounds like a boring offensive line meeting that I had got stuck in. That's what I'm watching. And so
Lamar Jackson falling asleep.
That's why Lamar's falling asleep, right? Because we're only in tight view. If we're watching wide, so I do like this. I'm going to try and check this out this weekend, Bake, and see some more of this insight, because you were saying that he was able to call a play just based off of what he said at the line.
Yeah, he heard Purdy's cadence and he said, this is going to be an out route or out, and then boom, there it was.
There it is, man. And Mike linebackers like that, they have the ability to decode things. They know the language.
First thing for me, we were talking about Nikola Jokic and how he was awesome last night. Well, I saw this on Twitter this morning. Nikola Jokic now has a 20-point triple-double, a 30-point triple-double, a 50-point triple-double, and a 60-point triple-double, all against the Timberwolves.
Wow.
He's taking that matchup with Rudy Gobert personally.
Yeah, what is he not like about Rudy? Rudy and Ant-Man would piss me off, too.
I love Ant, though. Like, he's just out there hooping, having a good time. Like, you got to respect that.
If I was Jokic, I would be mad, too. I could see it.
It's crazy that Ant had 44 last night, and it's totally overshadowed by what Jokic did. Second thing for me, I've been working in radio for 15, 16 years now. This is the first time that I can I don't ever remember not working on a Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. I was always the one that said, I don't care, I'll go do it.
Well, you made it.
We didn't have any live shows yesterday or Christmas Eve. And I believe part of that was because we're going to be, because the Buckeyes are on New Year's Eve, we're going to be working New Year's Eve and New Year's Day both. So they gave us not only Christmas Day off, but Christmas Eve. I think the morning shows were going to work Christmas Eve, but they ended up not. It's kind of a weird feeling not working either day. I'm not going to lie.
You arrived, babe. You're a guy
I don't
now.
Think that, if there would have been work to do, I would have done it.
Second thing for me, we didn't get to mention this because the game happened before Christmas Eve, but Ohio State, they beat Grambling on Tuesday, the basketball team, and we finally got to see what it looked like with Bruce Thornton, John Mobley Jr., and Devin Royal, their core, playing up to their full potential. Combined for 54 points, shot 60% from the field. If those three are continually to play at that kind of level, they're going to be a tough team.
Yeah, I would like to see that. The Buckeyes don't play till January 2nd, I believe. They're Big Ten. Well, I guess not opener because they already played Illinois, but taking on Rutgers.
They'll be at the rack.
Final thing for me, we mentioned Ohio State plays on New Year's Eve. I don't like this wait. And I know that the wait isn't, it's the same amount as it was last year, because last year you didn't play in the Big Ten Championship, but this year you did. But I've already seen college football playoff games. I saw those last week. I want it to be Ohio State's turn. I can't wait for New Year's Eve night. I want this Cotton Bowl to get here.
I know. And it's and this is that week, right, where we get that weird NFL game on a Saturday. And
two of them.
You turn on your TV and you're like, it's no game day. It's no Fox Noon. I'm watching NFL on a Saturday. It just doesn't feel right. This is that gap week after Christmas, before New Year's, that doesn't make sense.
Last thing for me, Rothman and Ice up next. Dave Biddle is in for AR, and they're going to do NFL picks at 12:30.
So you're going to want to look forward to that. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Hopefully you had a great holiday. Rothman and Ice coming up next. This has been Bishop and Friends on The Fan.
Catch T-Bone and Tyvus weekday mornings from 6 to 9. If you're not completely satisfied, we'll rewind time and erase your brain. For real, Fan.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FIRST.